Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I hope y'all are having a pleasant Sunday morning. It's a pleasant day here in the swamps. Birds are chirping, frogs are croaking, and fish are biting. So, and what am I doing on the radio? Man, I don't know. I got a pretty good video. I'm going to get kicked off here, and then we'll get the phone lines open. I thought this was kind of interesting. I don't have a link for it. I'll see if I can find it. I've had this one sitting here for a while to play. And, well, like I said, we'll get it going and then we'll get the phone lines open.
For centuries, mankind has watched the chilling prophecies of Nostradamus come true before our very eyes.
Nostradamus is known as the prophet of doom and gloom. He saw all of these horrible things.
His doomsday predictions have foretold of bloody wars.
We're going to see the whole world come to its knees.
Warned of threats from above.
He's talking about a mountain falling out of the sky.
And death from below.
In an instant, a great scattered flame will leap up. This clearly refers to enhanced volcanic activity on the planet.
As ancient prophecy and modern science collide,
if a supervolcano went off, it would be the end of the world as we know it.
People around the world are preparing.
We're a normal American family, and we are putting an underground shelter in our yard.
Nostradamus could not see to the end of time, but he could see to the end of the world.
This is Countdown to Apocalypse. Since the dawn of reason, Self-proclaimed prophets have warned that the end of the world is approaching. While many have claimed to foresee what horrors lie ahead, no one has seen them more clearly than the world's most famous prophet, Nostradamus.
About two-thirds of the prophecies of Nostradamus have already come to fruition. That's why people keep looking to them for truth.
Nostradamus has successfully predicted countless historical events. The rise of Hitler and World War II, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But his most chilling predictions are those which have yet to come to pass.
Nostradamus has predicted earthquakes, famine, war, everything that can wipe out humanity.
We're living in an age where we will see the fulfillment of the remaining one-third of his prophecies.
Nostradamus saw all of these things happening, and this is what he wanted to warn us about, that we were heading down into a terrible time that could destroy the world.
But who was the man behind these cataclysmic prophecies?
Michel Nostradamus was one of the most enigmatic and interesting men in history. He was a man of science and intellect, but he was also a man of great mysticism.
He was an apothecary, a prophet, an astrologer, and an alchemist.
Nostradamus was a stargazer. He had a passion for celestial mysteries, and he used them to build a structure of the repetitions of history using astrology.
Nostradamus's supernatural visions have elevated him into the realm of legend, and a look at his early years may shed light on how a prophet is born.
Basic history records Nostradamus as having been born in Saint-Rémy province in France in 1503. He grew up in a Jewish family. They were forced to change to Catholicism during the Inquisition, so they became what was known as Jewish Christians.
So even though he didn't want to, the whole family had to say they were Catholic. This influenced Nostradamus the rest of his life because he had an actual hatred of the Catholic Church.
At age 19, young Michel de Nostradamus set out for the University of Avignon in France, where he studied medicine and quickly made an impression among his peers.
He was way ahead of his time, so they began to have spies watching him. The other doctors were very jealous. How is he doing these things? He must be working with the devil.
If he had never written a single prophecy, he would have gone down in history as one of the great healers of the 16th century.
Nostradamus would soon test his medical aptitude when the bubonic plague, or Black Death, broke out across medieval France.
Nostradamus developed a method of treating patients of the plague by developing a rose pill, which helped build immunities. He became very famous for his rose pill.
Many believe that Nostradamus' cutting-edge medical techniques were not simply a result of his heightened intellect, but rather a gift that bordered on the supernatural.
We think the advanced techniques he was using in medicine, he learned from seeing the future. That was why they were different.
Nostradamus achieved great levels of success and was hailed as one of the most renowned specialists of his time. Then, tragedy struck at home.
When he came back, his wife and two children had died of the plague.
He wasn't able to heal his own family, so he walked away from the medical profession for a long time and actually turned inward toward spiritual studies.
So fate dealt him a hand that changed his whole future.
Grief-stricken after the death of his wife and children in 1534, Nostradamus mysteriously disappeared.
And he began to wander, and it's always been a mystery, where did he go?
Although scholars still debate the lost years of Nostradamus, one thing is certain. He left home as a famous doctor, a man of science and medicine, and returned over a decade later as a seer and a weaver of prophecy.
And it was at this time that he wrote his first almanacs. And the almanacs that he published also had prophecies in them.
But while prophecies would bring him fame and immortality, his penchant for looking into the future challenged the status quo and put him at great risk.
One thing you have to understand about the prophecies is this is material that could cost Nostradamus' life.
was a very dangerous undertaking to go against the church and actually be called a prophet. The church defined the prophets.
But despite the dangers, Nostradamus persevered and published his master work, The Prophecies, in 1555. In it, he provides hundreds of predictions, which have proven strikingly accurate over the years. The book is considered one of the greatest works of prophecy in human history. Nostradamus wrote each prophecy in four-line stanzas called quatrains, using a combination of coined words, coded language, and symbolism.
He tells us that he wrote his quatrains under a cloud of veil in order to make it a little bit more difficult to understand. But he tells us that people of good intelligence should be able to comprehend what it is that he was trying to say.
While some believe his quatrains are vague and can be interpreted in many ways, what is beyond dispute is that these prophecies have stood the test of time.
People are always intrigued by a puzzle. That's why his work survived for 500 years. People are still trying to figure them out. What is this man trying to tell us?
Scholars have studied Nostradamus' prophecy since the 16th century and have identified many quatrains suggesting a looming apocalypse is in store for mankind.
After the series of catastrophes that Nostradamus has prophesied for us, we will have to reassess our place on the earth and how we live on it and what we do to survive.
One of Nostradamus' most horrific predictions involves a threat from the heavens that, if it comes to pass, could extinguish life on earth in an instant. This is Century 1, Quatrain 69.
The great mountains, seven stadia in circumference, after peace, war, famine, flooding, the impact will spread far, drowning great countries, even antiquities and their mighty foundations.
So, he's talking about a mountain, about a quarter mile in circumference, falling out of the sky.
Is Nostradamus referring to an interstellar impact? Similar to the one that killed the dinosaurs 65 million years ago? There is also another quatrain that suggests this extinction-level disaster could happen again. Quatrain 3-6 says,
and the sky will be seen great fire dragging a trail of sparks.
He forecast a great comet that would pass through our part of the universe, causing great cataclysmic changes on the planet.
But what does modern science think about this medieval prophet's celestial predictions of doom?
We know that there are large numbers of objects that are in Earth-crossing orbits.
Any object that is more than a mile across and is on an orbit that crosses the Earth's orbit is a potential threat.
These objects can sneak into the solar system unobserved. They may come in the future and we may not have very much warning.
If Nostradamus' visions of a great fire dragging a trail of sparks and a great mountain falling from the sky are accurate, it may not simply be a warning, but a death sentence for mankind. With the countdown to apocalypse foretold and Nostradamus' cataclysmic prophecies in full swing, everyday families are becoming increasingly desperate to protect themselves. Some are even preparing to move underground.
Radius Engineering is an engineering and manufacturing firm. We engineer and manufacture composite underground shelters.
We're a normal American family, and we are here in Texas looking at the possibility of putting an underground shelter in our yard, you know, to be prepared and you know, be safe. I think it's a very valid thought.
Wow.
Here at Radius, what we do is supply underground shelters to protect people from everything. These are very high-tech structures. They're not your typical structure. There's a fuel pump here to circulate the diesel fuel. This is a composite material. It's very, very tough stuff. This is about 20-fold stronger than what you'd have in a hull of a boat. Here's an EarthCom 32, 32-foot span, with living spaces in the center. Here's an EarthCom 32 with a living space, and all the condos are off on one side. And then we have fuel tanks and greenhouse trays. So when you're inside and you look out, you see all growing plants from each condo.
Although underground bunkers are now designed to protect from almost any known threat, some, like the massive asteroid impact predicted by Nostradamus, may test even the sturdiest disaster strategy. Modern scientists are convinced that a celestial impact has caused mass extinctions in the past, including the annihilation of the dinosaurs 65 million years ago.
The crater is just off the coast of the Yucatan Peninsula. This sounds like a Hollywood spectacular scenario, but at least one mass extinction was definitely caused by an extraterrestrial impact.
And the great seer Nostradamus foretells of a similar extinction event in our near future.
Nostradamus is one of the few prophets that gives a very clear description of what comes out of the sky and where and what does it do. So it's a huge disaster.
While we might hope that modern technology could divert this catastrophe, it may be only wishful thinking. As recently as May 2012, NASA announced that roughly 4,700 potentially hazardous asteroids, or PHAs, could pose a threat to our planet in the future. More frightening still, they may catch us completely by surprise.
We don't even discover them until they start getting heated up by the sun, so they really start shining and glowing. Then you get to find out if it's going to intersect the Earth's orbit on a collision course or not. And that is really too late to do anything about it.
If a large space object does collide with Earth, the result will be global ruin, exceeding the darkest imagination of science fiction.
People just have no conception of the amount of energy that asteroids and comets have. We're talking about 50 or 100 times faster than a bullet.
And when a large comet or asteroid does collide again with our planet, the magnitude of the chain reaction it sets off will easily exceed that of the initial impact.
You can pick your poison. Most people think about a giant crater and an explosion, like a kind of a mushroom cloud. Anything that can see that, made of almost anything, wood, shrub, grass, or whatever, is immediately ignited. You could be hundreds of miles away and find yourself in a firestorm, possibly for months. I mean, the amount of soot just completely blocks all the light. And it's not just you that can't see anything, it's the plants, photosynthesis. It can all be shut down as a byproduct of this impact.
Will humanity go the way of the dinosaurs, validating Nostradamus' celestial predictions in the process? As a noted astronomer and astrologer, it is no surprise that Nostradamus looked to the heavens to foretell humanity's fate. But his dark visions do not end there. His prophecies also speak of a danger boiling below, a sleeping giant ready to explode and blanket our world in ash and fire. Century 1, Quatrain 87.
Earth-shaking fire of Neptune from the center of the Earth
will cause the towers around the new city to shake. Two great worlds for a long time will make war. And then, Arethusa shall color a new river red.
Century 6, Quatrain 97, at 45 degrees, the sky will burn.
Fire to approach the great new city. In an instant, the great scattered flame will lit up.
This clearly refers to enhanced volcanic activity on the planet.
Is Nostradamus predicting an apocalyptic volcanic eruption? And could fire from the center of the Earth truly end life on the planet once and for all?
There's a quote that says that civilization exists by geological consent, subject to withdrawal at any time. And that means occasionally things get destroyed by earthquakes or by big volcanic eruptions.
In antiquity, ancient man believed that volcanoes were gateways to the underworld. But modern science reveals their true purpose.
Now, as we see things in modern light, we know that that's how Earth loses its heat. Volcanoes are where magmas erupt, where there's heat down beneath the Earth. Rocks are melting, and those melts rise and come to the Earth's surface.
One of the most legendary volcanic eruptions occurred 2,000 years ago, when Mount Vesuvius suddenly erupted, blanketing the ancient Roman cities of Pompeii and Herculaneum in a thick sheet of volcanic ash.
Anyone who's seen the pictures of Pompeii and Herculaneum knows what can happen during a volcanic eruption, that people can die in an instant from these hot pyroclastic flows that come through, and their bodies are buried in some of the ash.
Even small eruptions have leveled cities in the past. But there are a few volcanic systems with the potential to set off a chain of destruction that can engulf the entire planet. These cataclysmic disasters are called super eruptions.
A super eruption is when about 1,000 cubic kilometers of volcanic debris is spat out during one very, very large volcanic event.
70,000 years ago, a supervolcano erupted at Lake Toba in what is now Sumatra, Indonesia. Scientists believe that the eruption created an ash cloud, resulting in a 1,000-year cooling cycle.
People think that it affected the climate so much that the human population was really impacted, and there's some theories that it really dwindled down to tens of thousands.
The Toba supervolcano changed the face of the planet, and super eruptions will doubtlessly happen again. But where?
We could, in the future, I believe as a geologist, have hot spots and supervolcanoes erupting at places that we wouldn't even predict.
While modern scientists resist predicting the time and location of the next super eruption, the great Nostradamus may provide the answer. And if he's correct, none of us will be safe. The great seer Nostradamus wrote in his book, The Prophecies, of volcanic fire from the center of the earth, causing tremors around the new city. Scholars believe he was referring to a devastating supervolcano eruption. Not only that, but hidden within his prophetic words, he may have also revealed where it would strike.
It is interesting that the phrase the new city also appears in this prophecy. The new city is an allusion to the new world. So we have a prediction pertaining to volcanic activity in the United States.
If Nostradamus has predicted a supervolcanic eruption in the United States, there is one location that tops experts' list of suspects, Yellowstone National Park. Nestled among the pine forests and bubbling hot springs sits one of the largest and most volatile supervolcanoes in the world.
Yellowstone is a very active volcanic system. It's been active for the last 2 million years. There have been some very large eruptions at Yellowstone. These eruptions had huge consequences to the globe.
Yellowstone National Park may seem an unlikely site for a geothermal time bomb, but looks can be deceiving.
When we see the boiling waters, the hot springs, the mud pots, the amazing things that you see are a reflection of the magma that's down below, only a few miles beneath your feet.
Unlike other more typical volcanoes, Yellowstone is a sleeping giant hiding in plain sight.
When most people think of volcanoes, they think of beautiful cones, but those systems tend to erupt smaller amounts of magmas. Yellowstone is a caldera system, and a caldera is formed through the evacuation of a large reservoir of magma beneath the surface. This happens when you have a really big eruption.
If the Yellowstone caldera erupted tomorrow, it could bury the entire state of Texas under 5 feet of ash, killing thousands and consuming civilization in fire.
One of the things that happens during these big eruptions is that you get pyroclastic flows. These are generally ground-hugging, supersonic flows of ash and very hot gas and rocks that are blown out of the vent, moving at very high speeds, hundreds of miles per hour in some cases. The pyroclastic flows generally incinerate everything that they come in contact with.
Only a few volcanic systems around the world earn the title of supervolcano. These, such as the Yellowstone Caldera, are defined not only by their size, but by their Volcanic Explosivity Index, or VEI.
The Volcanic Explosivity Index is a scale that allows us to put a number on an individual volcanic event. When you go from a 1 to a 2, it's 10 times more material, all the way up to a VEI 8, which is about 1,000 cubic kilometers of material erupted in a single event. Yellowstone has had two VEI 8 eruptions.
The most recent one being about 640,000 or so years ago, and some people have suggested, well, it erupts at a supervolcano level once every 600 to 700,000 years or so. So think about logically, if the last one was maybe 640,000 years ago, are we on course for it to erupt again?
As the geothermal countdown keeps ticking away, one question remains. When will we see the realization of Nostradamus's deadly prediction? Geologists have generally believed that a supervolcano needs to stew for up to 200,000 years before an eruption. But recently, scientists have shortened the fuse.
These late recent studies are showing that these magmatic systems can wake up and erupt more quickly than we had originally thought.
Since 2004, scientists have observed the ground above the Yellowstone Caldera bulge 10 inches as the magma pocket expands below.
These volcanic systems, they're big, and they do what they do on a huge scale when they want to do them. And at this point in time, humans don't have a really obvious way of changing the game.
With the Yellowstone supervolcano on a hair trigger, global disaster may be close at hand.
If the Yellowstone supervolcano were to erupt, just imagine one giant cloud and not dissipating, not moving on, not breaking up nearly so easily as normal clouds do. Imagine also everyone under that cloud having trouble breathing because of the ash and the particulate matter that is flying around.
This particulate matter, incredibly fine particles, would ultimately settle out as this dust around the world. Breathing it would be horrible. People could literally die from breathing it.
A massive volcanic eruption is going to be similar to a nuclear winter. It will block enough sunlight to change the weather patterns globally.
The aftermath of a super eruption would ultimately create a desolate, uninhabitable planet.
I feel comfortable saying if a supervolcano went off, Yellowstone, for instance, it would be the end of the world as we know it.
And with the risk of this world-ending disaster on the horizon, the Feeney family of Denver, Colorado, living in the shadow of the Yellowstone Caldera, do not want to take any chances.
We live in Colorado, and we're in the blast zone for the supervolcano out of Yellowstone.
Just to say that it did erupt, what kind of protection would this provide for us?
All of our shelters come with what's called an MCAS air filtration system, multiple chamber air sterilization. So we can filter out heavy fallout from a volcano or a nuclear weapon, and we've got enough earth over the top for fires. You can have fires directly burning on top of the hatch, on top of the shelter. All the shelters on the inside are protected from that heat with 8.5 feet of earth.
But this would be at the ground level, and this is what you actually open to go into the shelter. It's important that people come in and feel what the shelter is, because the images are great and the photos are great, but there's no substitute for being here and getting the feel for the inside. Right now it's 105 degrees in here because it's in the shop, but normally you're going to be about 60 degrees
underground.
So if there were a volcanic eruption in Yellowstone, how long would we need to be in a shelter like this?
If the volcano throws up a lot of ash, a lot of it comes down early, which is heavy, a lot of it comes down light, you might be able to come out of your shelter in a week or two. But during that week or two, it could be pretty devastating for people on the outside because you won't be able to breathe and there probably won't be electricity and so on. You know, our motto for the company is the future belongs to those who plan.
You know, we hope that everybody would get prepared for any situation that may come, no matter what it may be.
In a world of seemingly endless threats to our safety and well-being, concerned citizens and scholars are looking to past prophecy for answers. In Century 1, Quatrain 87, Nostradamus writes,
"Earth-shaking fire of Neptune from the center of the earth will cause the towers around the new city to shake. Two great works for a long time will make war. And then Arethusa shall color a new river red."
Many believe this quatrain signals a looming supervolcanic eruption at Yellowstone National Park, bringing instant death to thousands who are burned, suffocated, or crushed by up to 1,000 cubic kilometers of ash. But those around the world who survived the initial eruption may end up envying the dead.
Anytime a supervolcano in the world erupts and sends ash, it affects us. It would be far more dangerous if it buried the breadbaskets of the world, the grain fields of America and Canada in ash, because then you would have a breakdown and great global famines, which are one of the constant themes of Nostradamus' prophecies.
In Century 1, Quatrain 67, Nostradamus writes,
"The great famine which I sense approaching will often turn, then becomes worldwide. It will be so vast and long-lasting that they will grab roots from the trees and children from the breast."
And then he describes it as being so terrible that people would eat bark off trees and take babies from the breast. Cannibalism.
Was Nostradamus terrorized by visions of a global famine, perhaps set off by a supervolcanic eruption, so severe that humanity would feed on itself just to survive?
Now, he describes another prophecy, and there would be mountains of grain when man ate his fellow man. Imagine 16th century when agriculture was marginal, and to see some of the grain mills around the United States where literally a 100-foot-high mountain of grain is standing there. If you saw a vision of that from the 16th century, how could you reconcile that with cannibalism across the world and man eating his fellow man?
In 2012, the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization forecast a record-breaking increase in world grain production. But over 1 billion people around the world are undernourished, and it's about to get worse. In July of 2012, the U.S. Department of Agriculture declared the largest natural disaster in the history of the United States. Roughly half of the country is stricken with drought due to scorching weather conditions, pushing corn prices to an all-time high. Many attribute the changing weather conditions to global warming, a term first used in the 1970s. Amazingly, 400 years earlier, Nostradamus was already on the trail of this global threat.
Nostradamus wrote quatrains predicting global warming and the changing of the climates of the world.
And we're seeing this now, that seasons would blend and we would no longer be able to tell one season from another.
While some may question the relationship between human activity and global warming, what is beyond dispute is that 9 out of the 10 hottest years ever recorded have taken place since the year 2000, and this trend shows no sign of letting up.
We might push the temperature of the Earth up to about 100 degrees Fahrenheit or 40 degrees centigrade, which would probably make it uninhabitable to most people. So that's the concern, is that we'll lose control of the climate system, and we won't know it until it's too late.
The spring of 2012 was the warmest ever recorded in America, and the resulting droughts and wildfires have cost lives and billions of dollars. And for some island nations, even a modest continuation of warming trends could cause them to be wiped off the map.
There's lots of signs of global warming. Glaciers are melting around the world. Sea levels are rising. Climatic zones are changing. Life cycles of organisms are changing, or they're going extinct in some cases.
Two of the most worrisome effects of climate change are the rise of sea levels and escalating ocean temperatures. And Nostradamus predicted both.
In quatrain number 2-3, Nostradamus is clearly referring to global warming. He states that because of the solar heat on the sea, from Negropont, the fish is half cooked.
The local people will eat them when food will fail in worlds and Genoa.
This quatrain refers to the effect of solar heat upon the sea and other lethal toxins that are affecting the temperature of the oceans. We are seeing the death of our oceans. We are seeing the death of coral reefs, entire schools of fish washing ashore, dead and diseased.
In January 2012, 20 tons of dead herring wash ashore in Norway. In 2011, millions of fish float belly up in the Chesapeake Bay. The same has occurred in Brazil, New Zealand, and in other coastal regions around the world. Are these chilling examples of a prophecy unfolding before our very eyes? Another related prophecy that came to pass involved one of the deadliest storms in American history, Hurricane Katrina. Quatrain 948 says,
"The great city of the maritime ocean, surrounded by a swamp of crystal, in the winter solstice and the spring, will be tried by terrible wind."
When he describes crystals in a swamp, I think of the shapes of downtown skyscrapers in New Orleans at night. The footage when Hurricane Katrina was coming into the city, literally set in a swamp in a lowland in the Mississippi Delta, being beset by hurricane-force winds, terrible winds.
As global warming has increased the strength and frequency of natural disasters, preparations are being made to seek shelter from the storm, and also from perhaps the greatest destructive force of all, humankind. As numerous threats predicted by Nostradamus jeopardize our future, more and more concerned citizens are taking action.
If you don't store food and you don't have the proper supplies and shelter and protection, it's not going to look very good for you. There's going to be a lot of people who are in the same boat as you are, and they're going to be looking to take what they need from others.
Faced with these threats, some families like the Feeneys from Colorado are taking the extreme step of moving underground, helping the doomsday shelter business grow exponentially. But now, entire communities are being created to prepare for the apocalypse. In Western Florida, Billy Carson, co-founder of Fort Terra Nova, provides a safe haven for people interested in joining an entire co-op community of underground shelters.
We're creating two underground communities, one in Northwest Georgia and one in Oklahoma. Both communities will be approximately 400,000 square feet. They'll house up to 360 people to help as many people as I possibly could have the safety and security of knowing that them and their family members can survive local, regional, and global disasters.
Hi, Jay Rios, how are you?
Billy Carson. One out of every five Americans feel that there's something getting ready to happen soon.
Well, I mean, I'm no different than the average guy. I mean, you look at the news, you see what's happening, you look at scenarios, and then you realize, wait a minute, you know, this is not a what if, this is a more like a what when.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are some of the specific things that I can turn around and tell my wife and kids, and don't worry, that's covered?
The first line of defense is stealth. Not knowing, not seeing, not even having the slightest clue that below your feet, there's, you know, 380 people walking around alive. Okay. We also have, inside of the community itself, two security specialists, former military. When things get really bad, unfortunately, human beings get really bad. If you can go underground into a secure location, first of all, you're going to protect yourself from people who are on the move looking to, I hate to say it, but rape, pillage, steal, rob whatever resources you may have. Wireless camera system, that's going to be wired up on the outside of the community. See what the land looks like above us so we can find out if it's safe to go outside.
I can't control what's coming down the pike, but I can control what I do about it. I can control where I go. I can control, to some degree, the security for my family.
Nostradamus has predicted dangers from the heavens and the Earth's core, as well as cataclysmic climate change, all of which leading to a breakdown of civilization itself. According to the prophet, in the face of global turmoil, the very embodiment of evil will arise, a leader bent on the ultimate destruction of mankind. There have been many tyrants throughout history that have created global discord, but Nostradamus anticipated the rise of not one, but three political figures that would lead the world to ruin.
In quatrain number 160, Nostradamus writes that an emperor will be born near Italy.
Who will cause his empire greatly? They will say when they see his lies that he is less a prince than a butcher.
Now, this is very clearly a prediction about Napoleon Bonaparte of France. He had no problem sending large numbers of people off to their deaths for his glory.
Some historians put the death toll on the Napoleonic Wars as high as 7 million, including civilians. Although Napoleon's conquests devastated Europe, his savagery was easily outdone by the second Antichrist, foretold by Nostradamus.
In quatrain 335, Nostradamus wrote, "From the depths of the west of Europe, a young child will be born of poor people.
He who by his tongue will seduce a great troop, his fame will increase towards the realm of the east."
When Hitler rose to power in 1933, few fully grasped the impact he would have on the world. But Nostradamus penned warnings about this tyrant's reign centuries earlier.
Each Antichrist in Nostradamus' vision seems to take us a step closer to the abyss. Napoleon introduced modern warfare, large-scale armies. Hitler, of course, was responsible for killing 50 to 60 million people in the 6 years of the Second World War.
What does this promise for the third Antichrist when he arrives?
The third Antichrist will have to be worse than all the others.
But who could this fiendish leader be? Although many names have been discussed, the true identity of the third and final Antichrist is still shrouded in mystery.
He is like the spider waiting for his time behind the scene. He will take advantage of the world situation to make his move for power, and he will succeed.
And in quatrain number 1010, Nostradamus wrote,
"One worse than his grandfathers, uncles, or fathers, in steel, fire, waters, bloody, and inhuman."
Like the two who came before, it is believed that the third Antichrist will plunge the world into devastating global conflict.
When the third Antichrist takes power and he starts World War III, we're going to see the whole world come to its knees. So, due to technology, the third Antichrist will have a greater killing capacity than either Napoleon or Hitler.
As technology has progressed, the killing power of weapons of war has increased dramatically.
In World War II, we had weapons that had the energy of about 15,000 tons of TNT. A modern weapon on a nuclear submarine
is about 150 kilotons, so they're about 10 times more powerful than the one that was dropped in Hiroshima.
When the United States bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki in the final stages of World War II, the world reacted with horror. The fear of a nuclear conflict has gnawed at mankind ever since. Despite the collapse of the Soviet Union, some experts believe the risk of nuclear war has never been higher than it is today.
There's no question that we have a much higher concern about a nuclear conflict now because of all the new states with nuclear weapons.
If Nostradamus could see us at this point right now, he would say we're teetering on the edge.
Nostradamus has successfully predicted many events that have already come to pass, cementing his legacy as the greatest prophet in human history. But as wars erupt, political powers shift, and great changes bombard Mother Nature's balance, scholars fear that the ultimate realization of Nostradamus' dark visions may be just around the corner.
Nostradamus gives the doomsday death toll. Out of three people you know, two will not survive. He says two-thirds of the human race will fail, will disappear from all of this.
So what I think we need to do, wherever you are in life, you need to snap to the fact that these predictions are true. So the compelling question is, can we change our destiny, or are we locked in to what Nostradamus said is going to happen? Everything bad that can wipe out humanity, Nostradamus has predicted. The way that we react to these will perhaps be a key to our survival.
And the people who will survive have already begun to prepare for when Nostradamus' remaining prophecies come true.
There you go. What do you think? You think Nostradamus was right? I don't know. He predicted so many things, one or two of them is bound to come true. You know? The number is 229-299-5320. That's 229-299-5320. Or Mad Painter on Skype. Let's get some conversation going. Somebody said in the chat room that the Antichrist was Biden. Nah, that's wrong. It says he will seduce the world with his words. Biden can't barely speak. I disagree with that. Entirely. Putin? No, I doubt it too. More than likely the Antichrist will arise from the Middle East somewhere. I think they're having that summit there in Dubai. Might want to look that way and see who's going on there. Might be one of them guys. Just ain't no telling.
Wow!
How are you this fine morning?
Well, things are getting processed, you know, best I can do. You know how life is going, but to be concerned about a flipping volcano that could go off or a meteor coming in this way, then we all better be partying like it's 1999. What can we do about any of this stuff?
Well, we can't do anything about any of that kind of stuff. That's the whole thing, you know. Why spend so much time worrying about a rock falling from sky?
Oh.
You know, because you can't go out there and push it away.
No.
We don't have the technology at the moment.
I mean, it's nice to kind of know, but I've had a lot of the contrains.
All you can do is get you a good seat.
Yeah, right. Have your popcorn, your bowl handy. You know. I'm just glad I have my herbs because I'll just get through it that way. Oh, I got lots of alcohol too. That'll work.
I think we've been joined by Stephen Crawford.
That's what it said in the corner of my page. I don't know.
How goes it?
What do you think of Nostradamus' predictions? Do you think he was a real prophet, or he just made some stuff up and hope for the best?
I'm so bored of Nostradamus. I mean, really, what has he done for us lately? You know, what's his latest predictions? What does he have to say about the Ukraine? That's what I want to know.
Well, that might be the Third World War.
Well, Biden would be the third Antichrist.
Well, he can't be.
No.
Because he's going to seduce the whole world and make them worship him. Exactly. Biden ain't smart enough to get a dog to like him.
I just saw a meme where him and what's her name decided to prove that a 5-minute old baby can be aborted. I mean that's
murder.
Yeah.
Bottom line, that's murder.
Abortion.
I don't care what kind of sugar coating they put on it. I don't care what kind of problem the baby has. That's out and out murder.
Yeah, and that's why we should be out and out murdering them. It's going to, you know, like we're going to stand by and let them murder babies now just because we don't want to make a fuss.
Well, I wanted a boy. I didn't want a girl. How dare the universe give me that?
You know? But honestly, are we all just going to sit around now and let them kill babies? We're going to let them kill babies and throw it in our faces and that, and we're just going to go, oh, well, maybe things will change.
Yeah, but look what Planned Parenthood. It would go out of business if we didn't have abortion. Aren't we supposed to support our corporations?
We are the corporations. Didn't they change everything so that now people are corporations and corporations are people?
Hey, I went thrifting this April Fool's Day and got a great flipping deal, 50% off. I just had to throw that in there. You know, I mean, if we just don't make the best out of what we have available, why are we here at all?
That's crazy. I just keep going, not my circus, not my monkeys, not my circus, not my monkeys.
Right. I say it the other way.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
It wouldn't let me unmute. It wouldn't let me. It wasn't getting any calls.
Weird.
Nah, it's just par for the course.
They don't want me on the radio.
It wasn't you. It was me.
Dude, it's always me. It's all about me. Even when I'm not on the air.
Then it just took me out of the damn call just then.
Holy crap. Okay,
left a message that says, go to the call.
Yeah, it is about you. What did you do, man?
It's treating you like a stepchild.
I was doing it. It messed with Solaris last night, too.
I am that redheaded stepchild.
Oh, you think it's NFC or is it Skype or both?
It's Skype.
Oh, yeah.
It could be a number of anything.
All across the South the last week or so, there's been some hellacious storms.
Right.
I love that word. Say it again.
Hellacious?
Hellacious. Yeah, it's got to be in a Mads accent, though. Say it again, please.
Oh.
Hellacious?
Hellacious.
Woo! That's a southern word.
Damn straight.
That's right.
So, I mean, we've got probably 3 foot of water in the last 2 weeks here.
Really?
Yeah, she's saying.
The strange thing is that a lot of that's coming from the South. How many times have you seen the South bring up that much moisture? Personally,
It's not unusual for here.
Before or after Harp.
To me, it is unusual because I lived in St. Pete, Florida 50 years. I've never seen and followed weather for a very, very, very long time. Never have seen such. Never seen that. Never. Don't remember it at all. Nope.
Well, maybe we're entering into a new age.
It's like Stephen said, we got all this geoengineering stuff come on, and you think, okay, I did it yesterday, there's not going to be any repercussions. Are you kidding? All life is full of repercussions because of the actions that have been taken.
This is the planet Repercussion. We should change the name of the Earth to Repercussion.
Well, you know, the old statement is, you know, for every action there's an opposite and reaction. That's a true statement.
Yeah. Yeah. Opposite and equal reaction. Absolutely.
It's called karma, but people don't want to realize it.
No, because Mr. Rose says karma doesn't exist.
Well, Mr. Rose's wrong.
Mr. Rose drinks too much apple juice, and I don't think it's just straight apple juice.
Oh, my.
He's got some kratom in there, too.
But tell you what, yeah, just... No, I believe that that's the karma, cause and effect, action, reaction. What else could it be?
Yep.
Right. Well, we know it exists scientifically, cause and effect, right? That's a scientific principle.
So I poke you in the eye and you kick me in the ding-ding. That's how it goes.
Exactly.
Do y'all think the Antichrist is alive today?
Oh, yeah.
It would have to be because we have a duality that we're coexisting with.
I think it may even be Trump, because you got everybody loving him, and yet he's still saying, oh, I'm the one who did Operation Warp Speed. I'm the one who made the vaccinations. And
he's just got an ego. That doesn't make people love him.
Oh, no, there's a lot of Trump haters.
Go on Getter. They're all Trump lovers on Getter.
Nah.
Well, you know, if you follow all the other prophecies and stuff, you know, and look at it as a whole, he has to arise from the Middle East.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, the United Arab Emirates there. They're gaining power big time. Hell, they hold the purse strings on the world's oil system.
Yeah, well,
how about Dubai?
Well, that's an example. I mean, it's the most modern city in the world.
The one they built on sand?
Yeah.
That's right.
Everything in the Middle East is built on sand.
Yeah, but I mean the one in the ocean where they actually made a palm tree.
Yeah, that's Dubai.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, let's have one of those wayward hurricanes go by and say, whoops. Go ahead.
I don't think they hit in that area. They got cyclones over there, not.
Same difference.
Well, you know, they opened the can of beans about the bioweapons. Are they going to open the can about the weather manipulation Stephen was referring to and causing all of these problems, making this a really hellacious planet to live on?
Well, you know, the Sahara Desert used to be a lush jungle.
Yep.
You know, that kind of stuff moves around the world. The weather patterns are not set in stone.
Right.
That would be your climate change.
That is your climate change. Not mankind's messing with it. Yeah, we shift some weather, but we can't do it on a global scale.
Well,
but we've seen
now
to do enough damage.
Somebody going, hold my beer. Now we're going to do it on a global scale.
It's all been profit.
Yeah, but look at all the fires that have been caused. I mean, we seem to have the ability to do enough damage.
Yeah,
to do global damage.
Right,
directed energy weapons. Directed energy weapons. Like 2 years ago when I first started at the station, at the beginning of the fake pandemic, there was that huge fire down in Cali. We were on the Red Pill Roundtable. I was asking Mr. Rowe about it. I think we had, that was when we had Jordan Maxwell on. And I asked Rowe what was going on. It was like nuts down in Cali. I'm surprised he's not in there. He's in the chat room. Rowe, get your butt on this call.
You know, in California, they go through a cycle of real bad rain for several years.
Then it's mudslides.
Right.
And then it's a drought.
Right.
And then there's fires. And then the system repeats.
Yeah, but we've been...
It's been doing it for thousands of years.
Exactly.
It's too bad they can't get that rain. Yeah, earthquakes, ever present.
Well, you got volcanoes. Yeah. I'd be more...
But not on this island.
No,
we're safe.
No, your island is sinking slowly.
Yeah, well, we'll take the sinking, not the volcano.
You can literally look at the ocean map and see how it has progressed.
But some can say that's water's rising, not just land sinking.
Well, it rises up, becomes a volcano on an island, and then when it dies, and the actual shifting of the crust moves northeast.
I live in the line, and
as it moves northeast, it sinks back down.
See, that's where I live.
Right. Like a crescent, you're saying.
With the hot springs.
Right.
I mean, go look at
a typographical map of the ocean northeast of Hawaii, and you'll see what I'm saying.
Right.
There's some kind of pocket right there that, as it shifts, it just keeps bubbling up.
Right, making new baby islands.
Right.
Yeah, I love seeing that.
Adult island.
Now, this happens in a period of eons, not overnight.
Well, we got nothing but time.
Down there in Micronesia, some of them things grow overnight and disappear overnight.
How long is an eon?
A thousand years.
A thousand years?
Yeah.
Is that a precise
measurement? Another word for millennia.
Yeah, an eon is a thousand years.
Well, it'll take several thousand, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll take eons.
But then again, I'm not so sure.
I think it's 10,000 years, something like that. I think the millennium is 1,000.
Right. But there was an island that went off in the near Iceland in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And within a decade, it turned green. The birds brought seeds there, and it's starting to show life. And that only took less than 10 years.
Well, the son of Krakatoa has grown over, in less than a decade, has become a nice island now.
Right. It's quicker than we might imagine.
Mount St. Helens came back real nice, yeah.
Yep.
We have had volcanoes going off in this country. People might not think or know, but we have.
Well, there's an average of at least, bare minimum, 12 going off at any time in history. Now, we have an upkick right now, but on average, there's 12, there's, I think it's 12 to 15 volcanoes going off all the time.
I think a lot of that would be if we're going up or down on the big elliptic.
Yeah, it's a cycle.
But what is the name of that elliptic cycle that would go up and down? The
Kalihugi?
No. It's a part of the planet that the universe that we are in, the Milky Way, that goes up against a way.
Yeah, we go against the galactic plane of the Milky
Way. That's it. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, we literally follow a sound pattern that, you've seen a sound pattern on an oscilloscope. It goes up and down. We literally move up above. That's what the 2012 was, is we passed the ecliptic plane and is now above the ecliptic plane, where before we were below it.
And I think
that's why we see more meteors and stuff, because we've moved into a dirtier area of space.
Right. Busier.
Yeah, it's busier.
Because we're the dirt down here on this planet. And I like dirt, but still.
Kalihugi cycle is 432,000 years, according to Patrick.
Okay.
You want to talk about eons? Yeah, the video mentioned that 2012 was the warmest year on record.
Really?
So it was passing through that galactic plane, so there's coinciding events there.
Oh, pardon me.
Oh, to listeners right. out there, I have run out of mushrooms. So uh-oh. I'm looking for more. So if there's nowhere to find good mushrooms, inbox me.
How do you reconstitute old ones? Or do they keep the oils like your dry herbs do? Because I've even asked Richard Allen Miller about that, and he's the big psychedelic guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't get an answer because I've tinged you mushrooms.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about them, just that they make me feel good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. I've loved my laundry. Oh, yeah, I know what mushrooms go through. Well,
psilocybin's a type of poison.
Well, as long as you don't overdose on poison. It.
Yeah.
I mean,
it helps with depression.
Oh, I'm not depressed, but...
I am. All the time.
Well, there's plenty to be depressed about, but also plenty to be optimistic about.
Yep.
That's right.
There's no sense in being depressed about anything that you have no control over.
Exactly. And when you're on mushrooms, nothing bothers you.
Well, it helps you with the perspective, but, you know, you can't live by it. It's like people who go on all these antidepressants and everything else. It's changing, not you, because yours is natural, organic, and God-made, but the ones that...
And it doesn't fix the problem.
No, it does. Yeah. They had me on those medications. Actually, that's part of why I'm brain damaged. They had me on a medication. They said that you can't go off it ever. And I went off it. I was like, well, screw you. You know, you tell me I can't right. do something, I'm gonna. And it hurt. Like, I was confused and dizzy and drooling for months.
Because they damaged you.
Yeah, a lot of medications you can't just stop. You have to wean yourself off them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the habitual motion of what is the cause.
Valium is one of the ones they had me on.
Valerian root's real good. Catnip actually is a good herb to have because it helps balance out the hormones. And
I smoke catnip when I run out of bud.
Yeah.
That's why I got to get more catnip.
Oh.
Got to get a cat seed? First.
I got
you gotta just get some seeds.
Pissed.
That's all. Grow it yourself.
Leaf opium is good for that kind of stuff.
Well, I got some, I say it wrong all the time, but that was it colloidal silver stuff?
Yeah, I got
some. Yeah, I started putting some in the water for the cats and drinking some myself.
Just a couple drops. But, you know, I've seen that stuff remove blood out of material. That's how strong colloidal silver is. I was amazed. I'm like, if I need something really quick to clean, I'm going to put a couple drops of colloidal silver and try it first.
Mm-hmm. You mean like rub it on fabric?
Yeah. It's
like five milliliters for adults to put in water and drinks or whatever. I didn't look for any kind of cleaning instructions.
Well, I just
for the cats, I said to put 10 milliliters.
No, I just put a couple drops. No.
I just gave them like three or four in a big bowl of water, stirred it up.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the way I feel about it. Like tinctures instead of... But then we have to ask Wally, because Wally's the...
Yeah, well, and that stuff will help with COVID, too, right? It kills viruses and bacteria.
Yeah, but you can't let anybody know that, right?
We're only talking out our... we aren't really saying anything important. Yeah. But I use...
If I was, you wouldn't be able to hear it, because I'm sitting on it. It'd be muffled.
I'll be right back, guys. But I use a lot of baking soda, even if it's a quarter teaspoon, in my beverage, and I'll put apple cider vinegar. And I don't measure it out. I just go, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4 drops. And it kind of makes your body, you know, you just need a little bit. You don't need so much that, you know, you're going to run out sooner or anything else like that. And literally, I mean, in years, I think I've been sick 3 days, you know, except for this last go round, I did get something that put me down. And even though I did my radio show and whatever, it was like my household roommates were like going, where were you? Are you okay? We almost had to check on you because you haven't come out. I'm like, well, and I never get sick. really ever. So, but I swear it was the baking soda and vinegar that helped get me back out of the toxic eliminated waste that viruses and germs do to us. And then that's the one thing I really, I was so pleasant to hear that, or so pleased to hear that from other medical societies, that that's the remnant of it. All illness is a remnant of something going unbalanced. And all we have to do is find the balance. And usually if your body is pH balanced, you're good to go, just like soil in the garden. I got to watch out for my balance per plants and different things like that, because some like it sweet, some like it sour. You know, it's like, geez. And I'm sure every bud type is different too, because we're not all the same. I don't get sick because I don't eat pork.
We're in a universe unto itself, each one of us. And that's what they want. They want cookie-cutter medicine that can make one treatment for everybody. And that don't work.
I just found the saddest, one of the saddest, because I like tennis. I used to like watching tennis. I used to like playing tennis. But because of the CV thing that came around, all the athletes to be in their sport had to get jabbed. And so they're taking out what we would do to either do exercise or whatever, but now they're taking away sports because of the jabs. And it's just sad. That's what I'm seeing anyway. So yeah, let's worry about a big old rock coming from the sky, or a volcano going off, when we have set up a self-annihilation of a humanity. Yeah, let's worry about those other things.
It's really sick, yeah. They won't even acknowledge.
I just know that there's, you know, there's no reason to stress over things you can't stop. You can't do anything about. And that's one of the biggest killers of people is stress.
Oh, you
should. It causes heart problems. It causes diabetes. It causes, you know, a plethora of all kinds of diseases.
Okay, so we have wood getting chopped around here because we ended up with a big tree that got cut down. And I'm talking big. So I'm watching these guys. It's a lot of heavy work doing tree work. This guy's got a mask on. He's drinking his drinks through it and actually smoking cigarettes through it. I'm like, oh, Mona, do you dare get your camera? Do you dare go out and take a picture? Do you dare? I mean, because I'm like going, oh, I would probably open my mouth and say, you're an effing idiot. You know, just because sometimes you just want to, right? You just want to.
He's already lost his brain cells. It's too late.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And using salts and splitters and... I just bounced.
Smoke's coming through the mask. That's what he's doing. He's smoking through the mask.
With the mask on. And drink.
So that I'm going to tell him that the mask doesn't work. Because certainly the pathogen is smaller than the smoke.
I'm staying in the house. You make your bed, you got to lie in it. Okay, so I don't really make my bed. I throw the blanket over so the cat hair doesn't get where I'm, you know, between the sheets, but... You know, it's like, gosh, I'm not going to be all tidy about it. But still, it is that where just pertain to yourself.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. All right.
Could you make the argument that masks are a polite way to prevent being coughed on? You know, maybe they can go with that argument. Like if I cough.
But if I mean, wait, what? No. I mean, no. Somebody even suggested at the beginning, well, why don't you make masks, Mona? Because I sew all kinds of things. But I'm like, because I can't placate into the lie. Why are you? Look, we've been living for eons of time with the same air, same water, etc. If you're going to get sick, you're going to get sick. And it's not because of somebody else. It's because your immune system is less than it should be because of all the other conditions that you're incorporating around you. So, yeah, I haven't eaten pork in a while.
What's
pork got to do with it?
Zog in chat says you don't get sick, Mona, because you don't eat pork. No, I used to love pork. Oh, my God. But for the cost, I'm not going to spend $17 on a steak, especially since I don't know where it was grown from. Now, if it was Amish, that might be a completely different story. But it's just an interesting time of existence. Oh, and I don't believe that an asteroid killed the dinosaurs either. There, I remembered part of the video that I just had to say that. Nope.
Well, what do you think killed them then?
I think because of the axis changing and the stratospheres getting smaller and tighter because the planet is growing, that they just couldn't survive on this planet anymore. But I know that we were around with them. They were here with us. I remember them. I know that sounds crazy, but I do.
Not that old.
Well, different lifetimes, Mitt.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, different lifetimes. I've seen a lot of my Akashic records, and I kind of have a clue or an idea of where I've come from, and I do believe it's the changing of the planet and the different spheres that are going on. Magnetic changes, I mean, the sun and all the planets, if people want to believe it or not, contribute to what is happening on this planet. And if people want to believe it about each personality being affected by the different things, it's, you know, I do, I believe that, but I'm just a feral hippie. You can't always think about how I believe in it, because I was, a believer of many things. All right, guys.
There ain't no big deal about belief. You know, I mean, hell, if everybody believed the same thing, it'd be a boring world.
Right, but I still know that Trump got stolen the election from him. I do know that. I know.
I don't doubt that.
I do know that. Something happened. Yeah. And I do believe that we do get interventioned, but people just haven't had enough faith to be able to recognize the variances of the vibrations that are helpful for us. Instead of detrimental, because we're so used to detrimental.
I'm not sure we get any kind of help. I think God's kicked back in his easy chair with a beer and just laughing at us.
I know, right? Could be a glass of wine, though, too.
Well, that too, you know. Ain't no telling what it is, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. But I also have the condition to know that, because people, they want to make something out of the male and female. And if you get into any of the metaphysical genres, we both are male and female. Women have testosterone.
Explain why man has nipples.
Yeah, right. Well, because they'd look silly without them if women had them.
Well, no, not really. Women, there's a purpose for them, you know, and that's to breastfeed.
Yeah, but if you look at the flipping Adam made woman, because she was pulled from Adam.
Okay, guys, breaking news. I just got a phone call and been asked to run for a member of provincial parliament here in Canada.
Are you sure it's not April 1st where you're at?
No, it's not. It's for a party called None of the Above.
Cute.
Yeah, and they want me because I have the same name as a conservative MPP already, so they think that a bunch of people will accidentally vote for me. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going to be beautiful.
Oh, so you're going to go for it?
I'm going for it, yeah.
Well, why not? I mean, flipping mechanics going for his area for something.
Exactly. Well, he's got a chance of winning. I really don't, but we do have a chance to really screw the conservatives and get them to pull their heads out of their asses.
Well, there you go. Right. Well, I want pictures.
Yeah, well, it's lucky. My teeth are whiter. I've got the fake teeth now. I've got a couple of my shirts to pose for in pictures. And I'm going to run on free speech.
And pull your hair back now. Come on.
No. That's part of my free speech.
Oh, no, tease it out into an afro.
I may yeah, tease it the way go. I did when I was 19. I may go on with makeup. You know, eyeliner and friggin' paint my nails.
You definitely
that way I get the gay vote, too.
Yeah, the millennials. There you go.
Who was that guy that used to wear a boot on his head?
Oh, I would vote for him. A pony in every yard.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
I'm going for the conservative gays. There's a bunch of them here in Canada.
Well, don't go for anybody. Go for all of them. Do not decide to choose.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to make sure my look and talk covers everybody.
Yeah, but do it in many different ways. Don't just.
Do it in a tutu.
Oh,
I may put on a ballet tutu even and go out there. I may get votes just for being daring. Oh, it's going to be hilarious.
All I could see is you standing at the podium with your back to the people you're talking to.
Yep. Yep.
I'll
be one of those guys that wouldn't be afraid to tell a journalist to kiss my ass if I don't like their question. I'll act like Biden.
What, hide in a basement?
Just call. They ask a dumb question, be you dumb son of a bitch, stuff like that.
No, I'll try not to do the swearing as much as biatch.
No, there won't be no blatant swears. I doubt I'm even going to get to do a debate. This is more about just trying to scare the conservatives into taking their tongues out of the butts of the liberals.
Politics is as bad as religion.
Absolutely. It's the new religion.
No, science is the new religion when they're not supposed to even be close to one another.
Well, they want to try. Yeah, their science is such a fairy tale.
Look, they build machines to find the God particle. God's in everything. When it can
a machine that can destroy reality. It can destroy reality.
We don't know it can destroy reality.
Oh, anyway. Come on now.
When they set off the first nuclear bomb, there was a whole set of scientists that swore up and down that it would cause a chain reaction and destroy the universe.
Oof. Right. And science is an
open format for discussion of possibilities and ideas. It isn't a set thing.
Yeah, but CERN is also way bigger than a nuclear bomb. And they're trying to tear, they're actively trying to tear a hole in reality through dimensions.
No, in a dimension.
Right.
That's part of reality.
Yeah, but so did the Phoenix experiment, right? Wasn't that the one with the ship?
The Philadelphia experiment, right. Where they're trying to make something invisible.
Right. So we've had many rips and tears. I'm always amazed that we've even survived this long for what science has done to this planet. I mean, honestly. I love this Earth, and that's the saddest part, is I've always loved the Earth, and I've always tried to do my best for the Earth, and nobody else gives a shit. I mean, here, I tried to teach them about how all the chemicals were harming them, let alone the environment. Nobody cared. Yeah, nobody cared. Here, we'll just dump the sewer into the Gulf. It don't matter. So now it's toxic to everything.
Well, if they eat the shrimp out of the Gulf, they'll make you...
Is there any shrimp left? I mean, back when my dog...
They've been catching two-headed shrimp and stuff.
Oh. Yeah, I cannot even consider, and I don't even like the idea of what kind of fish goes in my cat food. You know, is it radioactive from Fukushima fish? But then
they use the scraps from making fish patties and stuff like that for cat food.
Well, just like the chicken or baby chicks.
Well, they don't waste nothing, you know.
Yeah, well.
Not when you can make a profit of it.
Supposedly, we're going to be watching a lot of chicken problems because they came out with this Asian flu again, and they're trying to cull all the food. Well, they've been trying to cull the food because they want us to eat worms from Bill Gates' farms. I mean, people need to really wake up to this crap instead of just going, oh, look, it's happening. No, put your voice out there by boycotting it. And because if you...
Well, if you don't buy it, they won't be able to keep producing it and selling it.
Right. But now they're paying farms to flip and not grow food. Here, you mow down your farm.
They've done that since the beginning of the United States in order to keep price control over certain items.
Yeah, well,
they're shipping a lot of stuff to China, and then China is just letting it rot because they're also saying stuff. Oh, well, stuff that's coming from all these other places is what's giving COVID. Like, they're still lying about what caused COVID over there. So they're saying, oh, food from Australia did it. So they burn all the food from Australia. Food from the U.S. did it. Then they burn the U.S. food. So we're making all kinds of food that's being taken from us, being sent to them to eat, and then they're just letting it rot.
It's a way to thin the – call the herd, right?
Yeah, absolutely, especially over there. Like, think about how many they have to cull over there just in China.
Kitchener said in the 80s, we're going to use food as a weapon.
Yep.
Yeah, well, look at what they did. They built that empty city. For what reason? That's now decomposing and turning into...
You're talking about in China? They built a couple of hundred empty cities.
Oh.
They had to keep their male population occupied. They didn't have enough females for them to marry. Because of laws of birth.
All they had to do was look to Japan for the sex dolls. I mean, come on. Let's get with the times here.
I mean, would you rather have a real partner or a robot?
Well, the way they're training them, it's all robots because we are transhumanizing this existence. That's right.
Well, I don't think they're doing that in China.
Oh, I bet they're trying. You see how these people live in cages? Hell, they have to put supposedly nets from the windows because people want to commit suicide from their jobs.
Well, that's because you want a cheap cell phone.
Well, it's all my fault. That's right, Matt. It's all my fault. Go ahead, Ado.
No, they're not cheap.
They're not cheap.
Cost you anywhere from $1,200.
Yeah, but if they didn't get that slave labor to build it, it'd be $2,400.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know there was that much gold in it.
Well, no, it's not that, you know. It's a bunch of rare earth metals is in it. But China don't pay their people.
Right.
That's why they commit suicide, you know.
You can't support. Well,
don't tell that to Disney.
Oh, God.
Disney doesn't care.
Loves China and hates Florida because those nasty Floridians
won't let them groom their children.
I think Disneyland in Florida would make a nice retirement community. They don't have to be there.
It's all China. Right. And they get their stuff. I used to make topiary for Mickey Mouse. Yeah, they just wanted cheap shit to sell, right? And then they sell it out at a cost that's so high. Go ahead.
It's all about a selective outrage.
Yeah.
We're going to be pissed off about this, but we have the same situation over here with a certain group of people. and we're going to completely ignore it because we're aligned with these people. China's got money. China's got business prospects for us. So, you know, they can hate gays. They can enslave their people, you know, allegedly, to make cheap iPhones, as you said.
Well, it's indentured
slavery. But Florida wants to pass a law.
It's not literally slavery. It's indentured slavery. I mean, if you want to eat, you got to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's well, if, you want to tie a nice...
If there's no jobs that are actually giving a living wage, you know.
Now, see, that's where
I'm sure you came from. Yeah.
Either it is a problem or it is not a problem. You know, are they paying them enough or are they not? Are they enslaving them by making them stay inside, locking them in? Locking them in is not indentureship to me. That's forced labor.
Well, apparently there's a lot of protests going on and people are losing their shit now because they tried to do a 100% lockdown on everybody. They were getting away with it because they were drifting it. It would be one area for a week, then that area would get to open and they'd close another area, but then they decided to close everything. So now people in China are losing their minds.
Well, I'm not necessarily debating, you know, whether China is or isn't good or bad. I'm debating the hypocrisy.
Florida can't they make don't their care own. For their people. I mean, that one guy even said, I could lose 100,000 and I don't care. I got another 100,000 right here.
Yeah, that Xi Jinping guy or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
If he said it, that could be a lie because we lie all the time, right?
I'm pretty sure he said it. I mean, it's been
we
don't speak Chinese. We don't speak Mandarin, so they got us at a disadvantage. He could say, hey, have a nice day. Have a Coke and a smile. Oh, he said he wanted to kill us.
They got Trudeau as their best friend, so basically they've got China and Canada now.
Yeah, but
that's like saying every quote you heard from Einstein, and Einstein never said it.
Right. Or Confucius.
I
just don't trust the news, guys. I don't trust what they say. Yeah. I trust us. I trust our independent sourcing and collaboration. If we get several sources and we all converge, you know, on the same, conclusion, right? Yeah. I got the same thing you got, you know, several sources. I don't believe in this lockdown media, this, big tech,
lockdown
mentality. And then they want to not debate, not have a healthy discussion or debate and discuss the merits of their point of view or even yours. No, they just want to shut you down and call you a disinformation artist. And you deserve to be in prison or worse.
Right.
So nah, I don't trust them and I don't really value their opinion. You know, I'd rather go to a kindergarten class and ask their opinion.
I know, right?
Well, for the last 20 years, you couldn't trust our media. You know that.
I don't trust them at all. At all. I verify everything they say, multiple sources, because that's what they're supposed to do. And they're supposed to go to multiple sources come to a conclusion. But they just parrot each other. The talking points come through
Yeah. It's all controlled.
Well, but it's also the same you've got to think about with YouTube and other things like that. People who actually believe in the Washington Post.
Right. They have disearned my trust, so to speak. The only weapon I have is just to not go along with their foolishness. You know, that's they're free to put their propaganda out there.
And really, you shouldn't believe a damn thing any one of us say.
Exactly.
No, that's not true. I just said I qualify my statement because we do research. We look at several sources.
You're assuming we do research.
Yeah, right. I do try to research, yes.
Well, you're assuming they do. What's the point, you know? They don't do any at all.
That's my point. You have to take this with discernment.
Right.
I refuse to accept anything they say. That's my right. That's my position. And they pushed me into that attitude. They did it, not me. by the lies and the distrust over the years.
I don't agree with the media either, but I mean, when you got multiple sources all over the place saying that's what the guy said, I mean, what are you supposed to believe?
Well, considering there's this thing called the Smith-Mundt Act, the Smith-Mundt Act lays it out that everything they're saying is a lie.
Right.
Could be a lie.
But why would they want to
have
tell the truth all of a sudden? You know, what's the truth and what's the lie? You can't believe a single thing that comes out on the media, no matter how many people are saying it. Repeating a lie over and over doesn't make it the truth.
Well, I wasn't just including the media. I was including everybody.
Exactly.
The media is not the only one that speaks Chinese.
No.
But at issue here is Disney, not China. I'll put China.
You made the statement that you didn't believe that that guy said that.
Well, I don't care about that.
And accused the news of saying that's what he said.
Oh, they got
of
good
lying about him saying that possibly. We just don't know.
Well, it's a possibility, but wouldn't 90,000 other people who speak Mandarin say, hey, that is not what he said?
Okay, well, thread the needle with me. This is where I'm going. Disney is being hypocritical.
Oh, I agree with that.
China could be good. Yeah. China could be bad. China could be a lot of things. But I'm not focusing
on
China.
They got a lot of things right.
Right, and it's not just China. It could be anything. I just use China as a glaring example.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Dominican Republic, where Disney offers cruises.
That's a voodoo hole.
Right. Mm-hmm. Disney will offer happy cruises to the Dominican Republic, okay?
I've been there two times. I don't blame them.
Okay. Dominica has a position that homosexuality is a sin and you should be in prison for being a homosexual.
Well, the Bible tells you it's a sin.
Okay. Florida tries to pass a law that says, hey, we're not against homosexuals, but we don't want you teaching it to our youth. We don't want you grooming our five-year-olds. Okay?
I agree with that.
Disney comes against Florida and says, we're going to do everything to overturn that law. It's homophobic. You know, it reverses all the progress the gays have made. It's anti-LGBTQ. And Florida has Disney has actively worked to alter society's perceptions and acceptance of gay people. I mean, they purposely want to groom our children because
I agree. That's they have no business doing that.
I got a 23-year-old.
Right. So that's what. But yet, they don't say anything to the government of Dominica. Listen, guys, what you're doing is wrong. How dare you incarcerate people just merely for being homosexuals? Disney doesn't take that position. They just offer happy Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse cruises to the wonderful Dominican Republic. That's what they do. I'm just saying the hypocrisy.
It isn't real nice there.
Well, that's what they do. They offer cruises there, and people, you know, there must be a market for it because people go there. But whether Dominica's right or wrong is not my issue. I'm looking at Florida and I'm looking at Disney. And the hypocrisy there. And they're an autonomous region. They are self-governing. Florida has generously allowed them to govern themselves. And look how they abuse it. They want to go against the parents in Florida, the families, what the families want.
I'm so
glad. The parents don't want what Disney's offering to their children or trying to subvert their children. The parents don't want
it. It perverts the children's minds. I have a 20-year-old. Yes. I used to fight to have the cable shut off because of what Disney was teaching her, because she had no respect for herself. She couldn't respect others. And I'm one who gave them the benefit of the doubt, okay, where I let them be.
Right.
No, that taught her stuff that her and I have now not talked in I don't know how long, because I am wrong, because I am not part of her programming because of Disney. I blame it on Disney.
Right. Disney, we've seen examples in their cartoon, their artwork, where they have tried to subvert children with sexual imagery, right? It's been encoded into the...
It's a true thing of the visualization of the subconscious mind on how to discern or try to figure out what you're seeing. Yes.
Even during the Walt Disney era, this was true.
Right.
The sexual innuendos were embedded into the Disney message or the Disney presentation.
He also partied in... did video, well, not videos, but films, short films with Dali, Salvador Dali. Now, because you are
Dali,
here's like, you know.
You're talking about Walt Disney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was he even produced films with the rocket guy, the Nazi. Van Braun.
Warner Von Braun.
Von Braun,
Really? Neat. So, yeah, I'm so glad to be out of Florida.
So, yeah, so just be consistent, right? Yeah, I'll respect you if you take a consistent stance. So not only am I against the state of Florida, I'm against Dominica and China, you know. You know what I'm saying? You don't retreat from your principles when it's convenient. That's what Disney's doing.
Well, that's any business. If there's a profit in it, they want in on it.
But that's not how they're selling it.
Just leave it alone.
That's not how they're selling it. They're selling it just like the politicians sell it, that you got to have me. We're just everything you need to know. And ooh, baby, you know, so they're selling it.
Yeah, we'll show you Floridians. How dare you pass legislation that we don't like. But in the meanwhile, China and Dominica, those are just two examples. There are many. Get a pass. You know, you want to, slave labor or whatever they're allegedly doing, you know. If China was on trial, maybe we could
just look at the Uyghurs if you want to look at China and see what's going on.
Right. But then China could defend itself and says, no, this is not true. They're making it all up. I don't know. I'm not saying they are or aren't. Mm-hmm. But Disney doesn't take a hard stance and say, you know what, until we investigate this and come to some conclusion one way or the other, we're not going to support China, you know, because we stand on our woke principles. But they don't do that. They don't do that at all. That's the larger point that I'm making, right? I'm not throwing arrows at any one of them, Florida, or Dominica, or China. I'll be neutral for the sake of my argument.
I throw arrows. That's the only things get done.
Okay, but the thing is if you look at the word, look at the word. You just said woke. They took the woke off. The A means something. It has representation of something. They removed it. So it's half of the situation.
Right, because they're speaking in code. Woke has a philosophy and a set of values that run contrary to the normal bias that we have. They run counter to our values and beliefs.
That's
so they just put it, they couch it in terms of wokeness. Because, man, you're hip, right? You care about people, man. You're not like these, you know, these uptight conservatives, these Trump supporters, you know. Yeah, you know, and you're all about the people of color, man. Screw the white
but
people kind of
so
thing,
right?
Right?
I
yeah,
mean,
it's wokeness. You're down with anything that's new and novel, right? That untested, untried, and anything old is bad. Anything that has, you know, traditional values we don't want, we reject, and we take everything that's new, even if it's 40 different genders? I forget. I lose count, which we know is not scientifically sound or true.
Oh,
right?
I heard that Facebook is offering 52 different genders to choose from.
Oh my God.
I stand corrected. Right. And that's
seriously?
The woke ideology. Yeah. And it's supposed to be you're woke. But actually,
look, anybody really can see a group of people naked. There's two types, period.
Right.
Right. And you have the rare hermaphrodite, yes. You know.
Well, yeah, but there's always a little bit of
But you're not going to know the difference unless they tell you.
Right. But look how they couch their position, right? It's like they if you don't accept or choose to adopt that lifestyle, then you're hostile to them.
Exactly.
You
I'm not hostile to anybody who has an alternate sexual preference, as long as they keep their fingers to themselves.
Yeah, but preference is not the true nature of the male-female. Preference is not a true nature. Nature is male or female. You want to be whatever, you could be a turtle. I mean, and then the woman's petting a bunny rabbit. So, I mean, come on.
But what they do is they attach a hostility component to the argument so they can advance their agenda and suppress yours. Because if you're against them, you know, in other words, if you don't participate in what they're doing, if you don't accept them, then you hate them automatically.
Well, that's
no, I don't hate you. I'm just not into what you're into.
Yeah, but there's no separation anymore. They want complete total power.
Yeah,
they want
to dominate and control everything. And they, you know, they've stated as much, you know, in certain individuals have. Okay, and I'm sure there are nice homosexual people, transgender people who don't have that political bent or desire. They just want to get on with their lives and, you know, just basically do their thing, be who they are. They're not trying to up that.
Want to teach it to your children.
Yes, see, that's
your
boundary. Right, that is exactly the position that Florida has taken. No, you're not going to do this. That's going too far. Oh, you hate us. You're anti-gay. Don't say gay. You know, that's what they call the opposition don't say gay movement or bill. That's a lie. It doesn't even mention gay in the bill and all that. And that's another thing they do. They lie. They're not above lying to get their message across.
Well, that's why they always end up winning, is because they're willing to do whatever it takes, and most people
are
not willing to put their morals
on
the line.
We won't compromise our morals. Right. We won't play dirty. But what did Michelle Obama say? What did Michael say? Well, speaking of transgenders, well, you got to hit them high and you got to hit them low, you know? So kick them in the nuts, basically. And it's okay to lie to get your more woke, advanced, more enlightened position, you know. So all bets are off because you're more advanced and you're, gosh darn it, you're smarter than the rest of those people. So you have a right to, you know, even kill and murder people. Yeah, you can murder a Trump supporter. Hey, we got the judges in our pocket. They'll just dismiss the charges. How many times does that happen? But yet you got January 6th people still in jail for almost 2 years now without any charges for most of them.
Well,
and
once they get out,
they're the punishment.
Be rich.
I certainly hope so. I hope they sue the bejesus out of all those involved.
If they get
survive. But in America, that should not be. That should not be. That's the people's
house. I agree
with
that. But when you when you go overseas and you bomb the hell out of a country, and then 4 years later, you invite all the refugees from that country into your country.
Right.
You know, you're killing people's grandparents and parents, and then you're inviting them to dinner.
Right. And that's done by purpose and design, right?
Right.
Because they're going to use them as their shock troops to go in and advance their agenda, just like Antifa, right? That's the Antifa force.
Most
right
of them people were with Antifa. They complain about restoration or whatever it is and want rights for the blacks.
Yeah,
and most of them didn't even have any relatives in this country at the time of slavery.
Probably not.
Probably
not. Reparations, blanket reparations is not a good idea. It's not healthy for this country. And really, it just supports,
your unwillingness. Allow them to come in. Not necessarily blacks now, any, you know, Hispanics, the whites, go into a store and steal up to $999 worth of stuff and they don't even charge them.
Right, so that's a form of reparations, I guess, right?
Yeah,
kind of a backhand
reparations.
Well, I mean, think about it, right? They figure mostly people of color, mostly blacks are doing
this. You're going to steal, come on and do it and we'll let you do it.
It's like, yo, man, yeah, we're going to hook you up, man. We got control of the legislature, or actually the DA's office, right? Because the DA in San Francisco says we're not going to prosecute.
That's like building a tower out of Legos and then taking the bottom bricks away.
Yeah, so he's politicizing the criminality. He's saying, oh, man, yo, man, on the down low, this is compensation. This is reparations. But we're not calling it that. We're just going to let you go in to CVS and steal everything you want, man, up to $900, okay? But don't worry, man. We're working on the reparations part, you know? So, yeah, and then the businesses and the community, their very own communities suffer. And, of course, they branch out into other areas, right, because all their stores have closed. And this is all by design, by purpose. The subversion and destruction of society.
It's sad, that's for sure.
It's a bit of shame.
It's allowed to happen.
Yeah. And it's so obvious. Why don't people see it?
Well, they do see it. They don't do anything about it. That's the thing.
Right. Yeah. If you try to do something like the January 6th, I always go back to them. They're my go-to group.
That wasn't an insurrection. That's ridiculous. Not at all. Consider that was a terrorist attack.
That's a representation of the heartland of America, the way America feels. And so what if you got emotional? You have a right to own your emotions. You're pissed off. They stole the election. You know, until it's adjudicated otherwise, hey, that's my opinion. You stole it in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
Of course, the only opinions that count are theirs, of course.
Their opinion, yeah.
Yeah. So no, we're going to lock you up. It's the worst insurrection. You know, and I pointed out on the show a while back, they had a Puerto Rican separatist that stormed the Capitol, drew guns, and I think there might have been a murder associated with their actions. But that's not the worst insurrection. They're saying January 6th, people going on mostly an unguided tour. And in some cases, it was even guided. They were welcomed in.
Yeah, they were welcomed in.
Depending on your point of entry and the time that you came, right. So it was just, they were just kettling people in so they could prosecute them later. So
the one video they showed of the guy breaking the window, he was using a police shield to break the window. How did he get a hold of a policeman's shield? Right.
Yeah, I guess the inference is he knocked some police guy out, stuck his shield. Look, Martha, look, those bad insurrectionists. You know, they let you draw your own conclusions. You know, you're not supposed to come up with the fact that it was an all inside job. Right. They let him in. They were being like sheep to the slaughter.
And the reports that the FBI knew all about this going to happen, and they didn't do anything about it.
And they won't release the videos that would prove and support their case.
Come on now.
Yeah. As Joe Biden would say, come on, man.
Yeah.
Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? So.
Well, they are afraid of the truth. That's the whole thing.
They are. And the American people ought to see right through this, and I'm sure they do. But the news won't cover,
but a bunch of them, the Uncle Sam's the savior, you know?
Yeah. In whatever form it takes, right, yeah. They're like the benign dictators, you know, in Washington. Yeah, we got to go along whatever they say, yeah.
If 9/11 didn't wake them up, nothing's going to wake them up.
Right. Well, didn't you have the younger generation?
There were so many problems with that, it was ridiculous. I mean, the BBC going, the Building 7 is down and it's standing up behind them.
Right.
The passport survived the bombing or the collision with the building didn't.
The younger people don't even know about 9/11. They weren't, of them weren't even around. They're like, what are you talking about? Because they suppressed that knowledge and information, right? Same thing they did with Kennedy. Suppression, and then repeat the lie, you know?
Well, you say a lie enough times, people believe it.
People believe it.
Regardless of debunking it, even.
Right. So my only defense is just to reject their message outright and go to sources that I consider to be credible, you know, like Revolution Radio. Because I think we do a good job of aggregating the news and really giving the proper perspective, in my opinion.
We really do. You get all angles of it, you know?
We do, but we try to show the counter narrative, you know, and we debate it. And we don't suppress them. We don't suppress their message. In fact, we bounce off their stupidity, right? Just to accent and highlight ours.
Without their messages, we wouldn't have nothing to talk about.
Right. Our message wouldn't make much sense. So keep on, you know, yeah, keep on, yeah, giving your message to the people so that we can dissect it, analyze it. So that's what's needed. So I really do support the station. Yeah. And I believe what the folks here are doing. I believe in that, and I believe their message.
And with that, we need your money in order to keep going.
Exactly. I mean, you listen to Deacon John's show. You got a plethora of news information. You're not going to get that anywhere else. You know, in like a 1 hour's time, it's all condensed. You got Dude Guy there, you got Hijacker, you got Deacon John. And it's just amazing. I mean, if you listen to nothing else, you can just listen to those three guys and you'd be set for the week. That's how powerful the station is.
Well,
and that's why they fear us.
I don't know about that, but
they fear our message. There's no doubt about that. Look what they did to the station's YouTube account.
Oh, I lost, 5 years of shows.
Yeah, why would they do that? If we were not,
well, that's because of some of the information that was coming out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It
violated their policies.
Well, right.
Their policies are set for them, not for everybody, you know.
Yeah, they're purposely vague on the policies. They don't say who's doing the complaining and what are the list of standards. What community standards are you referring to and what community?
Yeah,
you know, that's what Facebook's trying
to do. You know, when you go to court, they got to show you what you've been accused of, you know, what law,
right.
What ordinance, you know. And
the jury of your peers.
Right, and you don't get that on social media.
You get fact checkers, you know.
Yeah.
Probably paid off by George Soros.
Cheating on their wives with hookers.
Right. Right. Talking about Snopes. Right. But yeah, he serves as a.
And the cat even gets a vote.
Yeah. They're just there to suppress the counter narrative, right? So you can only come to one conclusion because you don't get the other point of view, the other side. So where is the rest of our panel? Mona and Steven?
I'm not sure.
Oh,
Mona's probably burning one.
Yeah, maybe Steven too. But, you know, I would encourage him. I'm glad. They're here, you know, icon-wise, but they're all probably doing stuff like me. I had to make some coffee. But, yeah, I would encourage him. I'm glad he decided to run for office, you know, Steven Crawford.
Yeah, more power to him.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good counter – coup, because he's got the same name as the conservative candidate or whoever.
See, that's a problem. Most people don't want to get involved in stuff.
Yeah. And he does, and that's good.
They would rather sit at home and just watch what's
going on. Let the chips fall where they may, yeah. A lot of that passivity comes from our religious indoctrination and principles, right? Because they'll say, you know, not to come against anybody in particular, but they'll say, like, be still, wait on the Lord. But if you do that too often, you don't do anything, and the enemy wins or at least gains an advantage, then maybe God might intervene down the road.
No, like I said, I think he's just sitting back. I mean, his last word, if you know, follow the Bible, was Jesus. After that, we were left on our own.
Right. Or maybe he helps those who help.
Well, yeah, I don't say he doesn't do something, you know.
Right. Right. So it's a partnership, I guess. It's, you know, in these human situations.
But a lot of these ones that jump up there and say, well, God told me this. He's wearing a $30,000 Rolex watch.
Yeah, exactly. As he gets into his Gulfstream private jet. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Well, you need all of that.
Played by Lady Horse.
Morning,
good
everybody.
Morning. Good morning. Well, I had my rant. I'm sure you got some things to say, Lady Horse.
Nah. I just won't be doing any business with Disney anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that something?
And that includes their subsidiaries of Hulu, Marvel Entertainment, ESPN, Pixar, Lucasfilms, and anything with Disney in front of it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I better go clean out my closet because I'd probably be, yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking of dropping that other one, too. What you call it? Doggone it. Not HBO, but the other one. Showtime. I'm thinking of dropping Showtime. They're just a little too woke for me.
I'm just not, watching it. I don't watch any of it anyway.
So. Yeah.
But I'm not giving money either.
Right. I made the mistake of buying one of them Fire Stick Amazon TVs, which I really like. I really enjoy it. So, and so that's when I got introduced to, like, hey, yeah, try Showtime, you know, free for 30 days and then $9 a month, you know, okay, whatever, I'll try it. But then I see the content there, right? And it's decidedly woke, I'll just say it that way, you know. And they hate white people. That's another thing, you know. That's the message that you get. You get that hate whitey message. So, and I'm just not about all that, you know. I'm in for fairness and balance in all things, you know.
Didn't so. Judge a person by what their skin color is on their personality and who they are.
Yeah, exactly. They should be above all that, but they're not.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking of dropping them. There's some things I like on there, but, you know, I got to make a stance, I think. So.
And I don't.
Netflix has gotten really bad over the last few years.
I haven't had.
Every single show has got a gay couple or a biracial couple. And,
yes.
You know, it doesn't reflect the actual.
The cultural
demographics of the United States.
Right. It's okay if it happens naturally on its own, God willing.
I ain't got a problem with it at all.
Yeah, they're force feeding it because they're pushing that agenda. That's what Disney's doing. And you're right. Right. And guess who's got creative content controlling in Netflix?
Oh, Obama's.
Yeah, our favorite couple, Michelle and Barack. So they're behind the scenes pulling the strings. Now you got to introduce a little more. LGBTQ, and we're just sick of it, guys. We're just choking on LGBTQ.
You got rid of Netflix when they come out with Cutie Pies.
Oh yeah, a couple years back. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. They were talking. Yeah. That was the gateway, right? The gateway drug, the gateway into acceptance of pedophilia. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
I'm just not getting any, you know. If I want to watch something, I usually go to YouTube and or Rumble or.
Yeah. YouTube has some good content. I mean, they're kind of slavish.
Well, I go to YouTube for a lot of how-tos, you know, how to fix something. Or...
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Matter of fact, I was watching YouTube last night. And they came on with this advertisement. Some of their advertisements are good too, but for homestead, be an independent homesteader. So I ordered the book and, you know, I might go live off the grid, you know, when I retire and do something like that.
It's illegal in a lot of places.
In a lot of places, yeah. So I'll have to go, maybe I might even end up down in Costa Rica parts, you know, or like Bruce did, you know, but it's good to have that knowledge, right? They can't take that away from you. So,
well, fake, you don't have to listen to her either.
Somebody in chat room?
Yeah.
Oh. What's eating at her?
I don't care. I'm sorry, I'm feeding my face as I'm talking to you all. I had to have some lunch before I go in there and start dinner.
It's fine. The rest of our panel got quiet all of a sudden.
I had some New England clam chowder is all I.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. There's two kinds, the Manhattan and the New England. I like the New England, the creamy.
My wife will eat both.
I will eat both. I just happen to like the New England better than I do the Manhattan, but I do like the Manhattan too.
Yeah. If I have my choice, right.
Muscles.
Oh, no, I can't eat them, man. I get sick.
Well, that's what an oyster is a mussel.
I can do clams, but I can't do the mussels. The mussels.
Excuse me.
You know, like in the can and all that. Oh, my God, I get sick. And I tried it two or three times in my life and I got the same results. So
I like to open a can of sardines and they have sardines and crackers, too.
you get sick on...
Huh?
I like sardines.
Oh, I love sardines. Sardines and crackers.
Oh, yeah, and I
caught food poisoning with anchovies on a pizza in Italy.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it about killed me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, that, you know, that might, is it the anchovies or just a food safety issue, you know?
Well, it was the anchovies. I mean, they're like sardines. They're trash fish.
Oh, really?
Yep.
They clean the ocean.
Yep, that's what they do.
Okay.
They eat the defecation of other fish and stuff.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, they sure do taste good to me.
Yep, yeah, but I'm not going to stop eating.
they follow cruise ships.
Yeah, they do.
Right. Oh, man, yeah. So that's a good way to catch them, then.
I mean, they don't follow them all the way out in the ocean and that because they're a shore fish. You know, they stay on a continental shelf.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty far in itself. The continental shelf goes out about what? 50, 60
miles? It depends
miles?
On where you're at, you know?
Yeah.
Depends on where you are. Yeah.
Continental shelf used to be out of the water. That's where the ocean used to be during the ice age.
Yep.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. So the ocean's expanded. Yeah.
Well, yeah, with the freezing of ice and that.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about volcanoes earlier. But when you think about it, volcanoes are the only way to make new land on this earth.
No, it ain't.
They are very...
too.
Earthquakes, too. Do earthquakes make land, or do they just break it up?
Well, they raise it up out of the ground.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the same thing.
Tectonic plate movement?
Yeah, okay.
If you believe in tectonic plates, you know.
Yeah, and I'll give you the movement part. But as far as the raw materials, like bringing stuff from out from under the earth and putting it on the surface, I don't think anything can beat a volcano for that. Right?
I
can't think of any other process, you know, other than that. I can't.
Oh, the tectonic plates actually bring stuff up.
They do bring stuff up too?
Oh yeah, they bring up.
In the Pacific, the plate is growing, and then the Atlantic is going under.
Yep, and it's pushing, and the Pacific is being pushed up, and the Atlantic is going down.
Okay,
recycles.
But
that's why the bottom of the ocean, the oldest of the bottom of the ocean is only, you know, half the age of the earth.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense now.
It's nowhere near as old as the land is.
But I guess what I'm saying is usable land that we can walk on and grow stuff on. A volcano is our best friend for that, right?
We only use about 20% of the actual land mass. Yeah. The rest of it's left the wilderness.
Yeah, or grazing or something like that, right?
No, I mean, nobody lives there.
There.
Yeah. You know, that's funny you guys mention that because I pulled out a map, and I'm going to look for it while you guys talk. And it shows the land distribution.
This overpopulation bullshit is the biggest lie that they've ever told everybody.
Right? That's all they do is lie to us. You know, the truth would serve them better, but of course they're not having
it. Well, no, it doesn't help their agenda that they have.
Right. Exactly.
The wildlife, World Wildlife Federation is a crock of crap. They're not worried about the animals. They're worried about people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, denying them access.
Did you ever see some of the salaries that those people make, or the CEOs and stuff of like World Wildlife Federation and the Audubon Society and all these other ones? These non-profit, their CEOs make outrageous sums of money.
Oh, my God. So-called non-profit. Somebody's profiting.
Well, yeah, it's non-profit for whatever they're running for, but the people running it make all kinds of
profit. Hand over fist money.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
I think a dime out of every dollar you give the Red Cross actually goes to somebody who needs it.
Yeah, 90% they hold back for administrative, we should say.
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
That is just ridiculous. So I just go directly to the source. I just give on my own. I don't need a go-between because of that, you know, reasons like that.
Well, that's what a church is.
The ASCP is one of the biggest jokes going. If you want to really support animal shelters, go to the shelter yourself and make the donation.
Yeah. Directly, right. Cut out the middleman.
Don't even, the ASCP is a big freaking, and they euthanize more than half the animals that they rescue.
Yeah, so much for animal rights.
And PETA's PETA's another freaking joke.
Yeah. Yep. The number one.
But nobody,
animal.
Nobody, but the problem is nobody researches that crap.
Right. Looking for the maps. I put it in my Pinterest.
$1.99 a day, and you can help.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I like how they break it down, right? They ask for an outrageous amount and then break it down in the day price. Get you to go along with it.
And we'll send you a one-of-a-kind t-shirt.
Right.
We'll buy a couple 50-pound bags of dog food and take it to the animal shelter or cat food or whatever.
They would appreciate that more than trying to get a donation from them.
Yep.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, here, when you turn in an animal, they want you to bring them food.
Yeah. Let's see.
They ask you to bring in food, too.
Wouldn't do me good to sit on any of them boards because I'd be raising hell.
Where is it? Well, I did find another map with ethnicity, and looks like 80%, I would say, just a rough estimate of the people in the United States are of German heritage.
Oh, I don't doubt that a bit.
Yeah, pretty interesting. And I guess next would probably be Mexican. Maybe Central American, and then British be third, I guess. And then a little sprinkling of French. And then we got Norwegians up in the northern part, Minnesota, Wisconsin area. But that's amazing. It's almost entirely German. You know, so you wonder all this, how did all of this anti-German sentiment come about, you know? And most of the country is German, for Christ's sake. I mean, or, you know, back then. I guess propaganda to get you turned against your own people.
Well, that's because they don't realize that they actually have that antrocy in their lineage.
Or they sanitize and says, well, you know what? You're all American, so forget about all that old world.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they sanitize it and make you all, and you lose that connection. Yeah. Yeah, we're all Americans now, so let's go over and kill a German.
Everybody's got to be a little bit of a mutt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Even in Europe, I'm sure people...
a little bit of a mutt.
Yep.
Well, there's very few purebreds as far as races go.
Far and few between.
Yeah, some of the Middle East... are closer to being purebred.
And there's a, oh gosh, It's been years since I read that article, but there's a little pocket, I want to say in Portugal, too, that the indigenous, and they basically are pure, too.
They have to be cut off from the outside world, mostly.
Yeah, basically they are. And also in Siberia, there's...
Yeah, there's some in Siberia, and there's some down in South America, Yucatan and stuff. There's tribes down there you can't even contact. They won't allow you to.
Right.
Because you could bring in pathogens that could wipe them out.
Yep.
Right. Kind of like the smallpox or something.
Mm-hmm.
When the Spaniards came in there. Yeah.
We live in a pretty strange place.
Right. What's this I'm looking at here?
I can't remember who I read that article about us only using like 21% of the surface.
21% of the surface is being used by humans? Human activity? Yeah.
And most of your populated areas are in dense cities, and you can look at any state and go, oh, that's where the population is, that's where the population is. And look at all the area around them.
And they're usually politically opposed, you know, to the majority, to the other people in the state or or area. But their agenda gets through because they're concentrated in these cities, so they have a lot of influence.
See, the eastern part of Michigan is the influence. That's, you know, where you...
And then not Detroit all goes in there.
Oh, that's Detroit. That's Ypsilanti. That's Ann Arbor. That's Flint. That's Saginaw.
Right. And they're like liberal in their political orientation,
yep.
Right?
And then you got us out here that, you know, I live 6 minutes from what they call a city, but it's not really a city. It's just a, it's a town.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider I consider Jackson, or Coldwater, either way. Jackson's about 35 and Coldwater's about 25. And I call them cities because they're actually big. They've got, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm out here in rural nothingness where all the farmers are.
Somebody knocked at the door, so I had to run off for a second.
Oh.
UPS.
No, I was a neighbor.
Okay. Let's see.
Wanted to know where my son was, and he was in the backyard cooking.
Oh, good. Yeah. Barbecue.
That's what I forgot to get the other day. Doggone it. Sorry, I'm just running through some articles that I was, and I have, I'm running through my horse forums, and And it said something about minerals, and that's something I forgot to buy the other day, was a selenium salt block for the horses.
Right.
Forgot to get that. Nothing spoiled.
Back out there.
There's nothing spoiled about my boys.
But that salt is good for them. They need that, right?
Well, they need selenium, too, because Michigan soil doesn't carry selenium.
Yeah.
That's a necessity for every living animal.
Yeah, but Michigan soil does not carry selenium.
Yeah.
Unless they put it into the ground.
Okay, so I found that map. I got to try and interpret it. It's saying... land used throughout the United States. The United States has one of the largest land masses at its disposal, and a very diverse one at that, with 3.8 million square miles to work with. It's only natural that the land making up the United States has various uses, depending on where it's located. So the biggest one I can see, you know, how they break everything down, is cow pasturage, And then that's a subcategory, sheep, goats, and other horses. And then the next thing would be livestock feed. Maybe federal and state timberland comes next. Then or private family timberland. Yeah, that would be bigger than state and federal timberland. So, and urban commercial is up there. But it's interesting. So the biggest use, right, of usable land, I guess, is for pasturage, according to this map.
Well, I don't doubt that.
Yeah. So
I was talking about total usage.
Right, 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 yeah. And it's probably, yeah, right, what's off the table out of that 38 million square miles that's not being used.
Right.
It's probably, yeah, they're looking at whatever we're using, this is how it's distributed, so.
You know, they want to rush everybody into big cities. And that's what World Wildlife Federation wants to do. And make
right.
No-go zones for people.
Right. So they're aiding that UN agenda.
Right.
Part and parcel of that. Yeah.
And that way they say that's for the animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Or the environment.
That's why they're getting away when, you know, they're trying to cut down trees. Well, nowadays when they cut down a tree, they got to plant trees.
Yeah. So that, you know, they are conserving the environment. They are conservationists.
You know, they got to reclaim the soil or reclaim the area. Here, there's a lot of logging goes on here, and they let it grow 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they only crop certain areas and leave other areas right next to it open.
Right.
You know, so that, you know, the animals can just move into the other area.
So they don't, you know, they make it seem like they're just stripping the forest.
Yeah,
they're
just
don't
stripping
have
it down
concern.
And killing everything and not doing anything to replace it.
Right.
And that's not how it works, you know.
They manage the resources. They have to.
Right. It's just like a farmer. He grows certain crops for a couple of years, and then he changes to a crop that puts back the nutrients that the other crop takes out.
Right.
It's we've been doing that for thousands of years. It's crop rotation.
Yep. And then sometimes like the guy next door, he'll plant 1 year soy, next year corn, and then a couple of years he just leaves it fallow, just to let it sit, and then he'll put something else in.
And plant some hemp. To clear the ground.
There
well,
you go.
Actually,
hi, Steve.
Hello, lady.
World War II, you know, you had to grow hemp if you had so many acres.
Exactly. Even before that, it was illegal to not grow hemp, and the Constitution was written on hemp paper.
Yep. Well, hemp is a little different than cannabis.
Yes.
It is, but that they used
all the sailing
it, the
ships
one to demonize the other.
All the sailing ships used to have hemp sails.
Mm-hmm.
And hemp rope.
Hemp clothes, hemp brick, hemp cars. There was a
that's
hemp
where that
car
same
made.
Smoking rope came from.
Exactly.
So how do we get from there to please. Now it's illegal? You know?
Because Hearst wanted to use his forests for a paper pulp and not marijuana. Or cannabis,
right.
I should say. You can grow four times the amount in an acre a year than you can a tree. And trees got to grow several years, you know, 7 years at the bare minimum before a tree can be cropped to use for pulpwood.
Exactly. There was a guy, was it Randolph Scott? There was a dude who owned like a lumber yard and a bunch of newspapers and stuff. And he teamed up with
Randolph Hearst.
Yeah, there you go. And he teamed up with... dude that made spandex. Jesus, I had the word
DuPont,
in there.
DuPont?
DuPont, that's it, George DuPont. Yeah, and then they demonized it because he wanted to sell his lumber and stuff. And that's why we wound up, they demonized hemp so that people wouldn't use it anymore. It's like,
but let me ask you guys a question. But we had hemp growers in opposition, or they should have been, right? And there should have been a lot of them, right? Wouldn't they say, no, 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 no. We got congressional representation, too, and we're not letting you do it.
Turned around and showed the movie Reefer Madness, to Congress.
Exactly.
During the Christmas vacation, and they ushered it in just like they did with the Federal Reserve.
So the Congress was just too dumb.
I mean, when you see a movie that shows of somebody smoking dope and making them rape people.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. See? That's why you have to corroborate with several sources, you know? Okay,
and
that's good information.
You could literally go buy cocaine cough syrup.
At the drugstore.
Oh, yeah, and they used to have sativa and indica in all kinds of bottles of medicine, too.
They also had cocaine and coke when it first came out.
I've got literally a bottle from the 1800s that stands about 18 inches tall that they used to sell cocaine cough syrup out of.
Yeah. Nice.
It's got all the measurements on it and stuff. And
you snorted all the cough syrup, though? It's empty now?
Oh, it was empty when I found it.
Okay.
I dug it up out of the ground. I got a whole collection of old medicine bottles. I collect them. I probably got 200, 250 bottles. Everything from 3/4 inch up to 20 inches tall.
Where do you... Never mind. Bite my tongue. I got to go on mute. I'm reading chat.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper was meth.
I'm sorry. I open my mouth when I'm reading chat and shouldn't. Oh my God.
Everybody's reading chat now.
Yeah.
Oh, there's just
I love me some Dr. Pepper.
Sometimes I wonder where people get it.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper is pretty good. You know, it's made from sassafras.
Sassafras. Yep, 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 yep.
And if you drink too much sassafras, it's a poison.
Yep.
What? Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that explains a lot.
Have you ever smelled a sassafras tree when they cut it down?
I have not.
Oh, man, it is beautiful to smell that.
Mm. But it's toxic in high doses.
So no more than 3 Dr. Peppers.
Hell, you can take Mountain Dew and a couple of other chemicals and make glow lights.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's scary. I don't drink none of that kind of stuff.
I don't anymore. I used to love the Dew.
I was a person that liked squirt. I liked the grapefruit soda.
Mm. Yeah. Black cherry soda is my
favorite. No, I wasn't. And then Faygo Rock and Rye, which is basically a cream cherry soda.
Mm.
Yeah. I like cream soda. It's pretty good.
Black cherry with vodka is really good.
No, I don't drink, so.
You gave me ideas, Stephen.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about walking to the beer store.
Don't drink, I don't smoke. I don't like a fuzzy head.
Don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do?
Yeah. Well, I drink coffee.
There you go. That's a drug.
Yep, it's caffeine. I'm caffeine from morning to night.
Yep, yep, yep.
I'm the same way. I got a cup sitting right here.
I used to drink like 7 cups a day, easy.
I drink two, three pots a day.
2 pots a day.
Two, three pots a day, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. See, okay, I was going to say, I didn't want to say that much because I thought people would laugh at me, but yeah, at least a pot a day.
I start in the morning, and I'd usually have a cup of coffee before I go to bed.
And yeah, be sitting there bouncing in my chair. What the hell am I watching right now?
Right. That would keep you up, though, wouldn't it?
No.
No, not if you're used to it.
No, Okay.
I have been drinking coffee black since I was 9 years old when my dad and I used to have coffee together because I had to have coffee like my dad.
Yeah. Once in a while, speaking of our dad, the mechanic has showed up.
There we go.
Adult supervision. That's a lot of heat. I don't want that kind of responsibility, guys. A lot of heat. Why do you think I got a vasectomy at 40? Come on.
Hey, mechanic, did you hear I got offered a chance to run for a member of parliament here in Canada?
Take that offer. I mean, you need to be given an offer. You can't just do it.
Oh, I'm doing it.
Oh,
I'm
yeah, do it, man. Do it. I'm having fun with it. Look, I don't expect to get elected.
Damn right. No, yeah, I'm not going to win. Yeah. I'm not. But if I even get to screw somebody out of 5 to 10% of the votes, I'll giggle like a little girl.
Yeah, but
you know,
what
but
I do
you think your voice is heard, and you get to say stuff that is actually true, and people hear you.
Exactly. And I'm leaving my hair down and being authentic.
Yeah. Not always the way they censor stuff these days. My gosh.
Oh, mechanic and Steven can get it out there, I'm sure. One way
damn
or another.
Right. He's covering the southern states, and I'm going to cover Ontario.
It's a little bit ridiculous up here, and so glad that I took advantage of a great California law regarding a one-person consent. So this is a single-person consent state. That means that you don't if you're a public, you know, you're basically a member of the public, private. Public doesn't matter. You give them a phone call, state of California, you can record all you want. So I recorded these calls, and I have all kinds of public officials on record. The shit they were telling me and spitting at, it's all coming back. It's all coming back around. You put me on a board membership, like a supervisor's panel, that gives me access to all kinds of records. All kinds of closed sessions. I get to read contracts. Plus I got all their phone calls. So my goal here is to get people to resign willingly. The end game is to make forcefully have them leave. I want them all gone. They all need to be replaced.
Yep.
That's my goal.
That's awesome.
Well, I got some ideas. We're putting signs out tomorrow. So the my opponent's campaign, that's the mayor. Linda Saucedo is her name. And so I'm running against her and her. She's pushing vaccines on everybody, right? She's all about it. So one of the first statements she made when she became mayor was, quote, what are we going to do about these unvaccinated cops, unquote. So that little message gets back to me, and I give her a phone call. I got a problem with that. So we talk, it's an interesting conversation. I record it. And then as I'm walking around gathering my nomination papers, I'm asking people, you know, can I put my sign in your yard, this and that. I'm going to businesses and seeing if I can put my sign in there. And I'm thinking, everybody knows this woman. They love her, this and that. So I go to a business yesterday, right? I'm in the business. I'm waiting. I got a burrito. Owner comes down. And she already knows who I am. She's like, what's going on? I heard you're running this and that. I used to be friends with the previous seat holder, yada, yada. She's stepping down, and she doesn't really care too much, you know, for what's been going on in the county. So we need, you know, some help or whatever. So I asked her about my opponent. Do you support the opponent? I've known her for a while, and I've been here a long time, and she just seems like she's experienced, right? Okay. So my signs, keep that in mind, right? Keep that in mind. My sign says, if experience matters, how was your experience? Unmasked liberty. Vote, you know, then I have my name on there and all that. I'm just going to use her campaign against her. So anyways, I'm in this business, and she's like, well, I've known Linda for a while, and you know, I'm probably going to vote for her. Yeah, she believes in forced vaccination. Really? Yeah, mandating vaccines to be employed. She supports these bills that are in California that are on the desk of the governor. Yeah, instantly the change came. Her voice, her opinion, all of it changed. Okay, looks like you're going to win my vote because that's garbage. Yeah. So people don't like this idea that the medical part of your life is going to be under the control of your local government? Are you kidding me? Public health gets the right to tell me to stay home and not go to work? Not if I have a gavel. Not if I get a vote.
They're not elected, you know, so why would we be elected? Like, they're doing that here in Canada, too. They have the doctors saying, well, I think we're going to need to lock down. Okay. Excuse me, you were not elected. You're not in charge of anything. And the guys who are putting you in charge, they're the ones who were elected, and they don't have a right to put you in charge of anything.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to be talking about.
Mr. Crawford, let me ask you this. Would you take it a step further? Okay. Let's say COVID or airborne AIDS comes back around again, because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be airborne AIDS. We have to put a mask on because people are giving each other AIDS now via air. And because you're an elected official, right? I mean, I would be elected official if that should happen. I told every business in my district, you call me. You call me. You got a public official when they're giving you a hard time. You got people wanting you to mask up your staff. You should be closed, 6 foot of distance, spend all this $100 on Visqueen and plastic shields and gloves and PPE, whatever. You call me. None of that's going down on my watch. I will show up to that business, and I'm committed to this. I've already done it. I will show up to that business and personally escort that piece of shit public health right out the front door.
Yep.
So
that's what I stand. Film it for YouTube.
So you have a tremendous amount of power. You're right up there with the sheriff here in California when you're elected.
Nice. So,
pretty crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah, film that shit for YouTube, man.
If I can even get back on YouTube. I have a channel right now that it appears to be where I'm able to. I think I've expired all my suspensions and relocations, so I might be able to get back on YouTube. It's All Out of Bubblegum, 1776.
I think we all got to start promoting the hell out of Rumble. Because you can monetize on there, too. You can't make as much yet, but hopefully Rumble will start adding things the way YouTube did. Because YouTube's been in charge for way too friggin' long. This is going to help me with my case for them, too, because if I do get public, I'm going to end up having access to lawyers. And I get one of those guys telling my case and what's going on, and Bob's your uncle. I get my case started against YouTube.
Don't you want to, though? Don't you want to take full advantage?
Absolutely.
All the tools you have as an elected official. That's my plan.
But why not? Isn't that what we're here for?
But I'm going to use it to help others. I'm going to help people that they've been trying to keep under boot.
So I guess the sheriff up here says, she says, and because after I was nominated, I had this itch to just go talk to the sheriff, you know, because there was a time when the sheriff said, I answer to the Board of Supervisors, not the Constitution. So I had a problem with that. So now that I'm running for the Board of Supervisors, I walked over to the sheriff's office because it's right down the street from the clerk's office, which, by the way, the square acreage of this county, 3,030.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Masonic.
The Freemason Lodge, that is a half a block away from the police station, Lodge number 333.
Oh, geez.
That's funny.
What are the odds?
What are the odds? So anyway,
they opened one here in St. Catharines, too.
Californication.
Yeah. I asked her. I said, so if I should win this seat, does that make me your boss? And here's the backpedal I didn't expect to hear. I don't know why you have this so confused. I've never told you I answered to the Board of Supervisors. I've always been a representative of the Constitution. Yeah. Why were businesses closed without due process? Her answer, I leave due process up to the courts. No. Due process starts with the sheriff before it ever gets to court.
Yep.
There's a lot of people without intelligence getting into places where they're just meat hanging out to dry because the people are going to come out with their pitchforks and because they're hopefully listening. They're getting woke.
I just woke my mom up. That's why I was quiet for a while on here. I was telling her I said, look, I was just asked to run for a member of parliament for this. And then I got into what the news – she finally understood what I was talking about with Smith-Mundt Act because a news company came to her place. There was a fire, and they were trying to get her to lie on camera. And I was like, well, there you go. Like that, the fact that they were harassing you and trying to get you to lie on camera, you should know you cannot believe a single thing that you see and hear on the news. She finally gets it.
Cool.
Yay. Now she's all worried I'm going to get shot.
Well, then it's your day to die, right?
Exactly. That's what I said. I'll go down as a martyr. But the main reason I've got any kind of chance is just because the dude who's already in office has the same name as me. It's like right. that movie with Eddie Murphy, The Distinguished Gentleman, when they had him run on name recognition.
Well, let's have it. Why not? Wouldn't you shit if you got it?
Oh, that'd be flipping hilarious. I'd be off of disability instantly, that's for sure. But I'd have to move to Oakville.
No, because they probably don't pay enough that you'd have to worry about it. Because most people who get into office have trust funds. And, I mean, they're not real politicians.
Yeah, but I'm sure there'll be some people trying to bribe me.
Lawyers, doctors, shit like that, you know. Yeah, but you won't go for it, will you?
I'll take bribes from good people to do good things.
There you go.
But that's it.
Yeah, that's not a bribe. That's an endowment.
Exactly. I'm going to start a foundation.
I have some lingering hostilities from the last 2.5 years, you know. So I find myself trying to control it. I walk into town hall. Ladies, there's some ladies down here.
Yes, there is.
I don't even have the clothes to, like, I barely have the clothes to walk into, like, just a small business, a grocery store, you know, whatever.
One dress shirt, dude. Nice jeans and a dress shirt. That's
it.
You
don't even have a shirt and dress pants and shoes?
I do not have a single pair of dress pants.
Well, is there a place around there you could purchase them?
Not for 200%.
Nice jeans, man. Just get yourself a decent pair of jeans with some nice shoes and a decent shirt, and that's it.
I'm going to travel. I got to go about an hour north of here, maybe an hour south. I might either way. If I go an hour south, I'm working with a couple of small retail sources. The prices are definitely probably 30-40% less than they are here. Remember, I live in a resort, so everything up here is
right.
You may be able to get them to sponsor you, dude, and get the clothes for free.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be that's not a bad idea. If I can get a
really. See, your puppy likes the idea.
Ronan says, yes, do it.
Just don't forget his cut, right? Because that dog, you take that dog with you, you'll have so much attention.
Oh, yeah. Because
people love dogs. And animals and that.
You just tell them that that's your secretary. Your dog is your secretary, and people will eat it up.
Everywhere, all of my activities, I've had a dog with me, whether it was Kuma or this new cat, Ronan. I had Ronan with me all of last summer. We were doing, we did the farmer's markets. We set up a booth at the farmer's market. We had, some signs. I might actually do, this summer, one of a Steven Crowder event. Where I go on and I'll make a statement. Vaccines kill. Changed my mind.
Yep. Damn right.
You going on Steven Crowder?
No, I'm saying I'm going to make my own booth here inside. Summer's pretty packed here. People come out and play. There's farmers markets. So at the farmers market, I'm going to set up a table for it to change my mind booth, and I'll have a different theme every week.
Yeah, that's a good idea, dude.
Yeah, I'll have my dog there, and it'll just be a family environment. The farmers markets are great. There's never been an incident, really, that I've been there. I had a town hall councilwoman call the police and say, we can't have him there with his activities. That's just unacceptable. It's never been. We can't allow it now. The police response to the councilwoman, we're not about to threaten this guy's constitutional rights.
I could just picture your dog barking at a journalist who asks a stupid question.
Yeah, he just the time is perfect. By the way, 9 months old, the dog is now trained. I left my truck at work last night. He is now trained to pull me on the bicycle.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. I mean, I cuddle, don't get me wrong, there's some hills, but he could go. Like, it took him a while. He's trying to bite the tires. He bit me once or twice. He's trying to bite down on my feet on the pedals. He's just so excited, you know. And
great.
So then he's a Maligator. Understand, when I say he bit me, you guys got to understand what I'm dealing with here. This literally is part dog, part alligator. They call him Maligators for a reason. His
Maligators.
Yeah, his greeting to me when I see him every time, he puts his mouth over my forearm or around my hand. I've had to learn to not jerk it out.
Right.
In the beginning, I would jerk my hand out, just instinct. And I would get cut.
Yep.
But now I just learned, look, he's going to greet me like this every time. And now I realize he doesn't bite down. He kind of hovers the mouth around the hand. And
right.
I got him to stop doing it to other people, which is great radio, I'm sure. I got him to stop mouthing other people, and now he just kind of bites me here and there. But on the bike, he rode, probably stayed within 3 or 4 feet to the right of me, on a leash, of course, and all the way to my house and back. And the goal is to train him to stay within like a 10-foot perimeter so I don't have to have the leash. And so everything's – this guy is extremely intelligent. It's going very well. Going very well.
That is so cool. I miss my dog.
He's working me out. He's, you know, Mona, he's forcing me. See, I'm already active. Just when I think I'm active enough, he turns around and he's like, no.
What do you think that's running? Here's running.
Yeah, I got enough. This guy is a straight up athlete, and I got a long ways to go to catch up. But, yeah, it should happen. The mountains are probably going to close here in about a month. We got 60-degree weather. So it's heating up, which really sucks. I wish we had a lot more snow. It's just the sooner the snow goes away, they start the fires. Yeah. That'll be another piece of my commentary, possibly even ordinance. I'll begin investigations.
There should be no fires. There should be green, lush growth coming up and inviting more nature.
Fires. That's what they do. They start fires around here.
No, get rid of
us burned out of here. They would love us burned out of here. Trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to run on censorship and UFOs.
Hmm.
That'll be my public platform.
Well, but look, you could get two birds with one stone if you say aliens, because all of the people that are coming to this nation who don't like what we're coming up from Mexico are going to go to Canada.
Yeah.
So you're
going to
have aliens
coming
in, too.
That's probably an aliens.
Yeah, you can do both. You can do the outer space and the ones that Biden's incorporating.
Okay. And all the believers will vote for me, all the people. Hey, dude believes in UFOs, yeah, man.
How about Bigfoot, bro?
Ask them for their green card, then you can identify them.
Yeah.
Going to Saskatchewan and promote Bigfoot. These guys up here, if I started going off about some of the conspiracy theories, they would just, even the guys I'm tight with, like the uniform guys I'm tight with, like, they're still not there yet. They're still, you know, it's very bland up here. People are very bland. It's like a kind of a stale box of cornflakes, just a week older. Like a loaf of bread a week past its expiration date, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. I try to pull people into the fold. It's been so difficult. I need to change a few things about my approach, the message, my attire. Yeah, so many things I need to do. But signs first, get those in there. Town halls. I'm going to record the town halls. And those are going to be fun. You going to have a town hall, Crawford?
I might, Rabbit. I might.
Rabbit?
It just depends on how far I have to go. Like, I may not even have to do anything. I got to go there to get 30 people to sign a thing to put me on the ballot. That's all he says I have to do at the moment.
Yeah, that's
I get
all,
that
that's
done, then I'm on it.
People. Yeah.
I mean, why not? It's better than signing up for the draft.
Exactly.
Well, yeah,
I'll just look around for people who have flags that say F. Trudeau. You know?
There you are. That would work.
Unless that election's fixed, you should be able to get in. I mean, nobody runs up here. I only need like 350 votes. That's how
I'm going to try and get like 500 signatures, actually. That'd be even better.
Yeah. The goal is to outclass her, for sure. I want to have my signs. She hasn't put a single sign up. She had other people canvass for her, so it wasn't her going door to door. I did the complete opposite.
Yeah.
You know? And she doesn't care. She's not doing anything right now. She doesn't think. I think in her head, she's got this won already.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Nah, there's now some you in there. That changes the whole history of it. Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. She's a councilwoman for the last 3 years. She's now the mayor by default. That's what happens when you're a councilwoman up here, or man. You do 3 10-year, and then you do your 4th year as the mayor. I think you do 2 more years as the mayor, something like that. So she's running for county. If I should lose, and, you know, she wins, I'm going to turn right around and run for city council because there'll be 3 seats up.
Nice.
Ah, and yeah.
It's likely that no one will oppose me.
Right.
That's cool.
So
beautiful.
I got to look for a back door like that.
Yeah, well, there'll be 3 of us. There'll be 3 of us. Hopefully, we all 3 of us get elected and we get in there. And we'll turn around and turn Mammoth Lakes into a constitutional republic, huh? Yeah.
Well, it's about time we got some
Declaration of Independence. We'll turn it into that because the Constitution has lost a lot of its validity. Go ahead, Mom.
Well, because you're a seasonal place too. I mean, that means a lot. And like you said, you just have to almost get their attention, and then they can go along with it. It's like knowing a commercial by heart, you know, pop pop fizz fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
And so, so what you're suggesting is like over the last 2 years, I've been basically exposing these people to an ideology that maybe they're not familiar with, maybe they haven't seen much of, they're not familiar with direct activism, you know, these types of things. They were, many people felt that everything I did was illegal. And I said to all of them, if that was the case, why wasn't I arrested?
Well, because they were programmed into believing that their doesn't stink and other things like that, and that other people are not as valuable as they are. What do you call them, psychopaths?
Hey, I got it. I was so worried there for a minute. I found my super loaded external flash drive. It has all of my videos from 2 years. I thought I lost it. But. No, I'll be playing it because apparently in these board meetings, you can say whatever you want without consequence. Like, there is no, and then that's the closed sessions. It's kind of like a very strict classroom on some of these board meetings with these people. They're all just so, how would you say, packed in, right? Like, they just got a haze of fog around them. They can't move around the room, even though they're sitting at a desk looking in a camera. They can't talk. I feel like they've all been somewhat circumcised. maybe castrated, even to the point where they have no spine at all. Yeah, you know, they have no spine at all.
And yeah.
They just follow the status quo. So when there's, you know, $4 million on the table from California governor to close down the businesses in your county, they don't even think about it. They just take it. Because they don't live that life.
Because they don't believe they're working for the people of the area.
Yeah, they land, lost whatever.
Right. So now, what exactly are you running for, mechanic? What's your title of office?
Board of Supervisors.
Yeah. And you, Stephen, what are you running for?
Member of Provincial Parliament.
State level. That would be the equivalent.
Ours is a province. Yeah, that would be equivalent to state. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wish you two gentlemen all the best. I hope you win.
So do I. That would be so awesome if I can just totally spring jump right over city and council and go right to a state.
Yeah, like Mechanics' move. If this should fail him, he's got a backup plan, which mm-hmm. should work because there's a vacancy and no opposition hardly, yep. any at all. Yeah.
And if there's I call a couple there. Of radio stations, I'm sure, or TV stations, I'm sure I can get one or two of them to come down to talk to me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, the newspaper here is biased. Every time they've made a report about me and my actions, they've gone and presented lies and false truths, false narratives. So, you know, I don't – in fact, I think my candidate has gotten a phone call from the paper already, and they've interviewed her. I have not gotten that call.
Start spreading stuff about the Smith-Mundt Act, dude. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to start telling 100%. People about Smith-Mundt.
100%. Propaganda. I'm going to talk. I'm going to have town halls. Well, I'll have a table with all kinds of information on it. They can come and
yeah.
You know,
fantastic. Town hall, now, film it all for us. Film it all for us.
Oh, 100%. The town hall, people will be able to answer questions and give statements and really kind of get involved, get to know your candidate. So Linda calls me. This is several weeks back, right when I was nominated. That's the mayor. The candidate, she calls me and she says, I says, hey, you want to have a public debate? I'm down. Let's have a public debate. We'll have some topic points. We can have a mediator, whatever. But no, I would never be physically in the same building as you. You are unvaccinated.
Oh, that's hilarious. So, bring that up.
You are unvaccinated.
What's wrong with doing it on a Skype call?
I'm not going to do it on a Skype call. I can do it on a Skype call. Sure, that's easy.
No, let her do it on a Skype call. You're in person, and let her be on a Skype call.
It shows her fear and her no knowledge of what really is going on. She's right. Leaving such an illusion that she can't trust.
He's going to be able to tear her apart just because of that. All he has to do is bring that up, whether she shows it or not. Bring that up.
How many people don't get the flu shot and don't get the flu, you know?
No. I got to have principles here. We live in a 2.0 square mile. This woman can meet me in a public building, in a public space, on public time. All right? Period. I'm not gonna take a knee because she's
now mechanic. If you set it all up and invite her, and she doesn't show up, that shows her character.
That's exactly right. What I plan on doing. I'm gonna have a town hall. I'm gonna advertise it as a debate, an open discussion debate with my candidate, and she's not gonna show.
Yeah. She even offer her the chance to appear via Skype, so you're in person and she would be on, because that shows her fear too. She was too afraid to be in the building with the unvaxxed people there.
No, I'm not doing. I'm not even going to give her the option of Skype. She's got. Why can't she meet me in person?
Yeah,
I'm not doing it. That's too much. That's not. That's a fold. That's a compromise.
Right.
That's a compromise. A 2.1 square mile town.
It's a prejudice by her.
You want me to be on Zoom?
But it's so spinnable in your favor to give her the option, because she'll probably say no anyway. But then you'd be able to say, I even offered her a chance to appear via Skype, but she was too afraid of you people who are unvaxxed. Like, it just looks good for you.
It needs to be well known all over the county. Everybody in the county needs to know that she refused to publicly debate me. Because I'm unvaccinated. I share that with everywhere I go, and I get a signature. Yesterday, I was talking to a business owner, telling her a little story about how this goes down. Forced vaccination, mandates, this and that. I turned her mind. I changed her mind instantly. Really? She wants to force vaccinate people? Yeah. No, not doing that. Where do I? I'll be voting for you. There you go. That's it. I got another vote. I mean, this is how it's going to happen. When people realize that these bureaucrats, they don't give a damn. They're vaccinated. They are. She's vaccinated. Now, the consequences could be equally on my end, huh? Do I want to be within 6 feet of this broad?
Exactly.
Yeah. Feeling is mutual.
Yeah.
Right. You're shedding. Go ahead.
No, she's just saying, you know, you're shedding, woman. You know, if you're fully vaxxed, you're shedding and can get everybody here sick.
Wait a minute. Animals shed.
Yeah, that's what they call it. Not quite sure why. Apparently, yeah. They'd say that stuff can jump off the vaxxed onto
us. You do shed skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's an old vacuum cleaner salesman trick, is you go in and you vacuum out their mattress. And yeah. Show a bunch of dead skins in their mattress.
And the bed bugs. Yeah. The word
look how good the vacuum cleans.
Transmit. Transmission. Transmit. When you have a fully vaxxed, double boosted individual walk by anything that's Bluetooth or a tower of some sort, like a Wi-Fi tower, it will ask permission to access that person.
Yeah.
So it's called transmitting.
Yeah. I explained to my mother how even if they're vaxxed and if you die from the vax, the insurance company won't pay out because you signed a paper. You essentially committed suicide and signed a paper because you took a test and gave them permission to inject you with something that was experimental.
It's really scary.
Yeah, it's gotten really pathetic.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Well, I'm hoping they offer me a bunch of money to not run.
1-808.
Well, that wouldn't surprise you, right? I mean, think about it. The school offered the lawyer $25,000 to walk away from the case of the child that was vaccinated without parental consent.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah.
That sounds like a bribe.
Exactly. I am open to bribes. I'm just making that public right now.
Take it upon themselves to vaccinate the child against the parents.
Yeah, it's funny because
they were just lobbying for it. Come on, they didn't mean it, right?
Well, they bribe the children too, right? They give them whatever, a candy,
ice
pizza,
cream,
whatever.
Stuffed animals, gift cards, toy stores.
Yeah.
See, the other kid's got a stuffed animal. If you want a stuffed animal, you got to take this vaccine.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, doesn't it just make us seem like, what is the idiocy of all this shit?
Oh, remember the guy who was giving away French fries to people who would get vaccinated? Get vaccinated, risk your life for this little pathetic cardboard thing with like 10 French fries in it.
Because they were taught to think that all we live by is instant gratification. And that's what we are gratified by. I mean, they put
up about the long term, Mona. Go ahead.
You know, there's a conspiracy with French fries. You know, because they grab that little thing to put French fries in the cup, and it doesn't matter if you get a small bag of French fries or a large bag, they still dump just as many in it that's in that little
same
thing.
Amount of fries.
What?
Small and large, same amount of fries. They just use a different cup.
Yep, that's all it is.
You're shitting me.
No,
I'm 100%
provable. McDonald's does it. They, I think, led the way, and then Burger King does it as well. Yeah. I don't eat those places anyways. None of you should be eating that.
Yeah, me. Oh, no. I don't drive through anywhere like that. Nope.
We don't even have a McDonald's here, which is great. We do have a Carl's Jr., though, which is still garbage. It's just a job for people. That's how I see it. I see a fast food joint these days.
Yeah, it's an entry-level job. It was never meant to be a full-time job for people.
It is when you,
when you can't find another job that pays more.
Yeah. Well, the problem up here is the opposite. Work is easy to find. It's people to fill those positions. That's what's hard. We can't. This guy keeps hiring kids right out of high school, and the attrition rate is insane. It's probably an 80% attrition rate for these high school kids. Yeah, they can work the front desk. They can do a transaction. Oh, you want to rent a lane for 2 hours? Hit 160. Oh, you want to use a credit card? All right, that day. All right, easy ticket. We'll call you when it's ready, right? That's basic, right? But the details, right? You're not working. You're slow. You should be wiping off tables, collecting glass, busting tables, asking the bartender if they got any food waiting. All of this, right? These are the things I did to hustle. When I was making tips, I was making tips. $300-$500 a day on the weekends.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
These kids, nah. They lollygagged the first. They lollygagged the second. Any type of incentivation has been taken away from them. They've been stripped of this stuff. Me, it's the American way to work, get a job, pay for yourself, buy that chick a drink, you know, get yourself a car, you know, whatever. You're snowboarding, you're, you know, pay for everything. You own yourself. That's a financial ownership is important, but these kids, they don't see it. They got parents that are, how would you say, parents not condoning, parents kind of, it's a backhanded way of supporting when you shouldn't be. They
indulge them.
Indulge, well, condone, tolerate, you know. They kind of just let it go by the wayside. They don't really put much thought into it because they're working. They've got things to do. It's just such a tough environment for a lot of people. I'm so glad I made the decisions that I did, and I'm in the position I am to do and really take a lot of risks with very little consequences. Very fortunate. So I'm thankful for that.
But that's it. You're right. You've got the hustle, right?
Yeah.
That's what's missing, that motivational spirit.
Yeah. They've been disincentivized.
Yeah, they have to be told everything.
They've been entitled. They think they're entitled to all this stuff.
Yeah, and they just don't know that you go beyond. You do more than what you paid for. And that's
how you move up.
Exactly, yeah.
Learn a career of being trainable and serviceable. I've never worked at one of those places.
Some people are like, it's not in my job description.
I used to wash cars. That was fun. Washing cars was tickets to go to the concerts at Tampa Stadium. I have made lots of good friends, and this was in high school. Pump gas. I mean, yeah. And then I worked and I actually did cartography, which was so much fun to learn how to do cartography. Now, this was well before computers, but this was when you first saw the circuit for something. It was the size of an 8x11 piece of paper that now is the size of a tiny screwdriver.
The head of a pen.
Yeah. So it's been really interesting to see how all that goes. Because it is amazing times.
Yeah, gone are the days of the soldering iron, right? And the because it's like on the integrated electronics.
They're printed now.
Small. Yeah.
Right. I actually made circuit boards for Amalgamated Telephone Communications for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they were the size of telephones.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was a miniature circuit at that time.
Right. And they just, Moore's Law, they get smaller and smaller.
Well, that's what the singularity is about, because we're getting to the point where we're not going to be able to make it any smaller.
Well, we go to nanotech. Nanotech is the next frontier.
Well, nanotech isn't electronics, though. It's, you know, that's a mixture of a lot of different sciences, and a lot of that is chemical and biological.
Machinery, nanoscale machinery.
Yeah, and most of that is biological materials that they're using to build them.
Well, we know that from this jab.
Yeah, the nanoparticulates, the lipid nanoparticulates in this jab, including the HIV AIDS protein, which shuts off your immune system, allowing the spike protein to come into the cell and then recreate God's image. Go in there and destroy your natural God-given or creator-given DNA and recreate it in this fallible science name.
Yep.
That's what they're doing.
Exactly.
Any other way is just not accurate. It's not accurate. What they're doing is an attempt to destroy the creator's image of man.
And right. So Eden. How can anyone condone mandating these jabs. I mean,
a lot of people are atheists now. You got a bunch of atheists who don't believe in God anymore.
The majority of people believe
in a higher power.
Yeah, I believe there's a universal law, and we're the ones who give it power, but we have not been taught to take the responsibility of our actions, and then we wonder why the way the world is. Over.
Well, they behave as if they don't believe in anything, really. If you believe in a higher power, then why would you engage in a policy that destroys that? Which was created by the higher power.
Given that choice by the higher power to improve mankind.
Whatever. Okay, yeah, choice. Yeah.
You can't change the natural elements. These are all natural elements.
I got to grab the fish hook. Choice. Choice. You have a choice to get the mandate, get the jab or not. See?
I got no problem with people having a choice to get it. When they force you to get it, that's a different story. That's taking control of your freedom.
Right. See, that's where their argument falls apart.
That's where the campaign up the runoff right now. Choice.
Yeah. So if they believe, if they believe the computer gives you the latitude to improve upon its creation, you believe that, fine. But that doesn't give you the right to force it on other people.
Force it on others. It's just like that when they started with the abortion. It's my choice. My body, my choice. Well, if it works for that, it should work for the vaccination.
Yep, that's what I'm going to be saying, too. My body, my choice.
Right, the inconsistent narrative of the left. That's what the left is famous for, being inconsistent in their values, their position, you know, their actions. They don't toe the line. They do whatever's convenient. And, of course, they'll lie if everything else fails, right?
Look at Biden's history. It was all against segregation.
Oh, yeah. He managed to instrumental in all of it. Yeah, there was the first black nominee for a female for the Supreme Court, and he was just violently opposed to her, you know, being appointed to the Supreme Court.
And now he's saying it's wrong to choose over race, but isn't that the whole reason he chose who he did for his vice presidency?
Oh, yeah.
He said that.
She was black and she was a woman.
She must be black and she must be female. Right, yeah. So,
what's a woman?
Right, exactly.
Oh,
checkmate.
To have, I'll get right back to 808.
Could
you ever imagine a moment in this lifetime where a woman in Congress, a congressional, elected by the people in Congress, asking a nominee for SCOTUS, what a woman is, and getting an answer, I don't know what a woman is, I'm not a biologist.
Nah, she couldn't answer any of those questions in a cohesive, coherent manner.
I'm not a biologist and I know what a woman is. So does that make all of us on this call, because we all know what a woman is, does that make us superior to this nominee?
Right, and it's just a mind flip because she was put in that position of candidate because she was a woman. Biden stated that. He said, I want a black woman, female.
Yeah.
Maybe she should have rephrased it. Do you know what a female is? I don't know, but still, that's all semantic.
True. Yeah, I get what you're saying. That's true. That could have been because she knows.
Nah, it's common usage patterns of language. She knows exactly what that congresswoman meant when she asked. And they're a congresswoman at that. Why not just a congressperson? Why do we have congressmen and congresswomen?
It's just
ridiculous. It all just breaks down and collapses, right, when you analyze it, just step back and just look at the nonsense. Yeah, that was God made. A woman asked another woman.
My, my young granddaughter blocked me on Facebook because I told her what a woman was.
Okay, can you see it on air?
Yeah. Yeah, see?
Because she was having this about he, she, they, us, whatever the damn pronouns are. And I told her, I says, I ain't into all that. You're a she, and whether you like it or not, you were born that way.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
We got to stop letting them get away with the mental, you know, just because they're mentally retarded, a small minority of them, doesn't mean the rest of us have to go along with their delusions.
Right. We gotta go over the cliff.
The actual gay population in the United States doesn't exceed 10%. There's no way.
No.
It's not even 1%. They
want us to think it's 75%.
I have several gay friends. I have a gay sister, and they are pissed off, excuse the French, at all this crap.
Yep.
Because they know they've gone too far.
We're going to see it. We are. Something else that we're going to see in our lifetime. We are going to see this, in addition to vaccine regret campaign, where people are just losing their shit because they've been lied to and duped. But we're going to see the trans regret campaign where you have like a 25-year-old who's been going through all this, you know, changing and this and that. And it was that third grade teacher that implanted this. Oh, you feel like wearing a dress today? That's okay. That's okay, Johnny. Do you feel like a girl sometimes, Johnny?
Yeah.
And then 25 years later, that dude's like...
I want to see the statistics on transgender people who have changed their sex on how many have committed suicide in later life.
Right.
Well, that information will be hidden from you.
Right.
You're not allowed to know that.
Because it's so high compared to the other population.
Well, if we go by feelings and all, what if I feel like having a gun and bringing it to school? Don't my feelings count?
Only if you're a dolphin that day. If you are,
I feel, masculine.
You're allowed to feel that way.
Yeah, but you're not allowed. See, masculinity is toxic, right? Anything that threatens them, potentially threatens or can be in opposition to them, to their agenda, they don't want it around. But I can't express my masculinity in full, you know, just to reverse the argument. You know, why can't I
feel
come
like
in?
G.I. Joe today?
Yeah, I feel like Chuck Norris. I'm into my Chuck Norris zone or my Samuel L. Jackson, you know.
Yeah,
why can't I express that?
Explicit language today.
Right. Or my Dirty Harry. Why can't I express my inner Dirty Harry, you know? So they know what they're doing. They're purposely engineering society in the direction they want it to go. You know, because only certain feelings are valid or responded to. I'm feeling conservative. I'm feeling like a Trump supporter. Oh, good. No. That would never be allowed, right?
Only allowed them to use Ms.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, back in the 70s. Ms. Yeah. What was that? That was the feminist, right? Making a stand, say, I don't belong to a man. I'm not a Mrs. But why wasn't Miss good enough? I don't know. I guess Miss.
Because it showed that they weren't married.
Yeah, but not necessarily their position on feminism, right?
Right.
Right.
Miss was a young girl. Ms. was a woman that wasn't married. Mrs., of course, is married.
Mm-hmm.
But the MZ, the Ms., that was like.
That's so you don't know if she's married or not. So you,
and also to
your best bet is not to hit on her.
Yeah, there.
Yeah, probably.
Don't flirt with the unknowables. Yeah.
But she's breaking convention. She says, "Look, you're not going to label me as a married woman by putting that MRS."
I'm very proud of my MRS.
right. Well, going back in history, this was the feminist position. You know, we're breaking away from that. Patrilineal control, right? You know, that hierarchy. So, woman, I'm not going to be identified. I'm not even going to take his last name. I'm going to keep my maiden name, so to speak, right? So they were really making that known, right?
Well, nowadays, in a lot of states, if the woman wants to change her name to the man's name, she has to pay.
Right.
Whoa. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just don't take the name because you made a marriage.
First of all, you're absolutely right. We have a cuck nation.
Yes.
Will Smith is a cuck.
I'm not even going to get it. Who cares about the damn
And they openly admit to an open marriage. All right?
Yeah, I heard that part.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Who the heck cares about the stupid celebrities anyway? They don't run my life.
Yeah, but look what happened to Tom Hanks.
I don't give a coot about Tom Hanks. I don't give a care about all of them. They're on screen and I like the movie. That's all there is to it.
Right. Great. But McCann's looking under the hood. He's going to examine something.
I'll never watch another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie in my life.
I know. Right. Wouldn't he turn into a melted file?
You don't understand how devastating that was.
You see?
I trained. I had his paper. I had his 2-inch thick World Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. All right?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yes. I had his book, too.
Okay? I went through some of these exercises in my builds. Let me tell you. Disappointing. So disappointed to hear what he said.
Yeah. Get your damn shot.
Screw your freedom.
But no, see, mechanics, see, this is what we were talking about. The inconsistent narrative, the inconsistent, immature response, right? Like, it's okay to have sex with my wife, you know, if she consents, I'm okay with that. But don't you make a G.I. Jane reference and insult my wife that way. You know what I mean? It's just an overreaction, right? But which one is worse? You know, the inconsistent narrative, right, mechanic? Is that kind of, if we look under the hood, that's where we're going, right?
Oh, 100%. Sort of. You start looking at the under the hood. You start seeing all these conditions.
Yeah.
And you can't, any logical person would be unable to.
On air, dear.
Deny,
yeah,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Say that again.
You're yelling at my wife.
You can't. What's happening now, everything we see with homosexuality, transgender, and now you notice that they're using the LGBT. It's no longer Q. It's AI.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
LGBTAI.
Oh my God!
Would they dropped the queers?
They dropped the queer for AI.
Oh no, we're not having that.
That's right.
Queers of the world unite.
What's the AI stand for?
Artificial intelligence. They're going to give AI a bill of rights, and if you violate those bill of rights, they're going to prosecute you.
Oh my God! Yep. Well, we might as well add a P for pets, a double P: pets and pedophiles.
Well, that's going to be normalized. So
yeah, let's get everybody there right.
Well, that's what all this is all about, is for them to normalize it.
Yeah. Everybody has rights as long as they conform to a certain culture or cultural values or attitude that we approve of, right? Yeah, I don't have a right. I keep going there.
What's coming?
I keep going there because I don't have a right to protect myself with a gun, though, right? I carry a weapon, right? I don't have a right, you know?
But
go ahead. Yeah.
All I could think of for some reason is how the elderly who have all kinds of answers, who some of them probably have good minds, they're just not as fast as everybody else, and how they just got all annihilated with this V-19. Okay.
Yeah.
And nobody's thinking about that. I'm not seeing as many as I would think that should be out there, as in that kind of.
Well, that's the whole thing. The aging population of the baby boomers is putting a strain on the Social Security system and the healthcare system and everything. And of course, if they wipe them out, that's better for them.
Excuse me, but I don't believe we have a warranted, decent healthcare system to be concerned about.
Well, it's better than none.
Yeah, but I've taken care. I have health care. So, I mean, my care, because I know better.
Well, most people don't.
I know, and I help whoever needs it. I mean, I don't ignore the truth or the facts behind realities here. But if you see and check this video out, Richard Dreyer looks like melted caca. I can't believe this is Richard Dreyer.
He didn't get any work done, so he's just getting old.
No, he looks like a one that good old supposedly Hitler wanted is the white with the blue eyes.
Well, it's Richard Dreyfuss.
Dreyfuss. Okay, I'm saying the wrong
one. Did you guys see the interview with, we shouldn't even give these people the time of day, to be honest.
Okay.
Right, but if we reference them, it supports our position, right? Because people can see by comparison, like when you did Will Smith. That's another illustration of the hypocrisy. No, you did good. It's been right because we got something to compare it to. Look, that's kind of odd that he would slap the guy for making a kind of a mild joke.
So what now? You're an audience member. You can walk up and slap a comment. You can slap a comic for you don't like his commentaries.
Yeah, in a sense.
He used to get in trouble for just being a heckler in the audience.
You guys don't know shit. Don Rickles.
Don Rickles is the man.
I know Don Rickles.
Compared to Don Rickles. Are you kidding me?
You hockey puck.
Andrew Dice Clay,
yeah. Like to see Will Smith
walk
up.
Yeah, but look how he ended up, He doesn't even know how to cook his cookies. His cookies have been cooked,
Hickory dickory dock.
And Don Rickles.
Your wife was, oh.
Yes, Mr. was on my
in a tree top. That mom's a hoe. It ain't your
pop. Oh, my God. Can you imagine, guys and ladies? Can you imagine? And it goes to freedom of speech, man. I mean, the guy's got a job to do. He's emceeing the thing, right? I mean, I think.
It's a distraction.
Now,
while that's happening, Hillary Clinton is being charged a fine for falsifying a dossier by the SEC.
Just a fine.
$8,000.
$8 million. The damn paperclip cost of the money that they spent in the investigation.
But it opens up. Yeah, it opens up other things.
Clinton guilty.
Yes, of it establishes her guilt. Yeah.
Yeah, but the whole thing.
We got a slap in Hollywood. Outstanding.
Yeah. So that's gonna be she's gonna feel pain, guys. Trust me. That's just the first step.
They're all part of the show. They all have Screen Actors Guild cards.
I know, right? It was so sad when I was there in L.A. and was right at the Oscars building, et cetera, and you drove about 500 feet was the Walk of Stars, and they were putting people in wheelchairs, just left them on the Walk of Stars. And the places and the buildings that were empty, this was 2010, that were empty, wanting people to move in almost everywhere. It was like, oh, my gosh. And then if you went to one place where we used to hang out at the Starbucks, if you crossed the street and you didn't have the right color bandana on, you were going to possibly have an occurrence. And almost every corner had a different color bandana. I mean, could you imagine what it is now? But did you see anybody with masks on?
Right. All right, look, if you're sitting around right now and you're listening to this show and you're enjoying yourself, but you're drinking coffee from any other type of mug than the ones we sell on Zazzle, you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
Find your way over there to the Zazzle store. You need to find your way over there to freedomsips.com, revolution.radio. Hit that store button and get in there. There's some new coffee mugs. They got a bearded dude holding a wrench in there. They call the mechanic with a coffee cup. I tell you, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool stuff.
I'm going over there right now.
I've even got pink on mine.
Yeah.
Except I got the small. There's two different mugs. You either get a small one or a large one, and they're different.
Oh, I think we got a fight, Mona. Hey, painter, did you put pink on that mug?
Oh, you can change the color you want on the inside.
I like seven different colors. I like the red outline on mine. Yeah.
You know. I'm talking about the inside of the cup and the handle. You can change the color.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I got to get a couple of them.
Oh, well. Yeah, but I honestly have to say something, and I don't mean to be crude or rude, but the more dollars that we have is a whole lot better than just 80 cents.
So just that's what they give us per cup.
So,
but if we sell $16
for a cup and then $15 for shipping, and they give us a total of 80 cents.
But if we sell them for a million of them, then Rev Radio has made $1 million. Well, 800,000.
And I like full funded. I bought one. I just bought mine. I just made one and bought it, but I'll never do it again because I didn't realize.
It's more than just a cup because it also spreads the message. It promotes.
Well, who sees me? Nobody sees me drinking out of that cup.
Well, not you, but other people. You know, you take them to work or wherever.
They're fan cups is what they are.
Oh, people see me because they watch my video.
They buy it, you know, and they put it up on a shelf and say, yeah, that's the show I listen to, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Or they watch videos of the host, and the host is drinking out of the cup that says the red pill.
Are you that far yet? I don't think you're that far yet.
Oh, Lady Horse says horses, of course. Yeah. Right on. What does it say?
Of course.
Continue WoW for... Why can't I read this? Am I going blind?
Don't talk like that.
Oh, running WoW. Wait. Running WoW for... Help me, guys.
Running WoW for the truth.
For freedom. For freedom.
For freedom, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Love it. Yeah.
I got to be honest. I've only looked at my cup.
Well, I look at everyone that they put in.
Oh, there it is, the red pill. Oh, man, you got a werewolf-looking thing, man. That is.
There's two.
Oh, a guy taking a red pill. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got two of them up there right now.
Yeah.
I was even man enough to have a man use the pink that is in that red as a outline for my logo, for my name.
Well, you got a lot of black on there, so that would set it off nice.
It black, red, gray, and pink.
Right. Yellow, too. Anything could actually go with black. As long as you don't overindulge it. You know.
That's a horse pill. He's pushing ivermectin.
Yeah.
I am not.
You weren't supposed to tell.
What the?
That's fine.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
I don't think so.
What happened?
I am not pushing ivermectin.
No, the guy on my picture.
Steven is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steven is.
On his mug, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure,
There's the Chicago brew flipping rendering of what he thinks is truth. That's all.
So I wanted to comment on that Will Smith thing. We learned from a very intelligent person out there that said that the whole Will Smith thing was is 400 years of oppression, that it was steaming and it was a boiling at that point, and he had to leave his seat, and all that aggression was the 400 years as a black man in America that it all had to come out.
Absolutely what they wanted.
Well, damn, he's old sucker, isn't he?
That's what they wanted to get across, Brew. Absolutely.
But wait a minute. So he attacks a black guy?
That's why it all backfired.
Yeah, but you didn't know there was a white writer.
That's right.
There's a Jewish writer. They just look white.
Exactly.
Well, the whole thing was way back in the day, the whites would paint themselves black because they wanted to portray.
No, the Jews would. The Jews would paint themselves black and pretend they were white people. They also have no problem playing Germans.
They painted themselves black. Look at old Shirley Temple movies and things like that. Those were white people. They weren't black people.
Written by Jews.
Yep.
Possibly. I mean, it could have been Christians, too. I mean, aren't they the same almost?
Oh, no. It was a different era. We're not getting into that. I'm just I'm making fun of the one lady. I'm sure you guys saw the clip of the lady going, the libtard, all because of suppression.
No, actually, I haven't. That's funny, though.
I haven't even seen the Will Smith clip, and I ain't intending on watching it either.
Oh, he hits him with the tips of his fingers. He doesn't give him a full-on slap.
Well, yeah, and then I saw a video on YouTube that it shows how Will used to teach the other actors how to slap without getting slapped.
Well, people are going, oh, I heard the slap. It was real. All they have to do is add a sound effect timed properly or have somebody standing there with their hands and clap into a microphone at the time he slaps them.
That's it.
They're actors. That's what they do.
No,
I think he took one for the team. He actually took a real.
He had a smile on his face. Come on.
Oh, we know the whole thing was a psyop to entertain it any other way. You know, oh, it was real. No, it wasn't real. Okay. First of all, Oscars sponsored by Pfizer. Yeah. Pfizer has an alopecia medication coming out for people. Then they're alleging that Jada Smith has alopecia. Well, Jada Smith has been shading her head like that to her scalp like that for years, and it's been uniform even. I've seen pictures of people with actual alopecia, and it's all choppy in their hair. It's like little chunks of hair is pulled out and whatever. It's all choppy all over the place. Not a nice even shave like she has, and she had that for years, which a lot of black women do.
Exactly. It was all just a play.
So they have that factor. And then it's so real that, you know, Rock stands there. He doesn't even, like, try to pull back or anything. You see somebody lifting their arm and slap you, you're going to react in a certain way. You don't stand in space for it.
On camera, at least you're going to pretend to fight back.
And then
he leaned in because he didn't think he was strong enough to do it right.
Right. But he turns around, and he's got that grin on his face. Do he's got that grin, but then and here's the kicker, and someone brought this up in an observation, someone pulling this apart, that he literally, once he did that, he just totally turned his back on him. Now if you strike somebody, the last thing you're gonna do is turn your back on him because you don't know how they will react.
Exactly.
Now if he stood there and looked at him, and
brother might have had a knife,
whatever, and wasn't gonna do anything, that's your sign is okay. It's done. I'm walking off. But no, he immediately turns around. Because what if Rock was like, hell no, and wants to, you don't do that.
If that was real, Chris would have been fighting back, and they would have had people breaking it up. Just for camera, even though Will could probably kick his butt, for camera, Chris would have fought back just to make it look good on camera that he didn't punk out.
Well, if Chris...
He's no longer Chris Rock anymore. He's Chris Priss.
Well, he upped his ticket prices from like $40 to $400.
What?
Yeah, for his comedy show. Before that incident, they were like a reasonable price, and now he's asking like $300 to $400.
Oh, come on.
Well, look, Chris Rock, even before this, like just 2 weeks ago, I was watching, I got Telegram, and they always put all these clips of all sorts of things on there. Chris Rock was about to interview with Jimmy Fallon, and he's on like Skype or Zoom or whatever. And as soon as like Fallon goes to mention, speak to Rock, Rock turns his attention and his eyes do the whole slit thing. They just he crossed over and did the whole slit. And this person, whoever got the clip, does the whole thing. You see it, and then he does the whole slow motion thing. So, these are entities. They're not even real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got to get those ratings up, right?
Well, it's all after the fact. None of us here on this call even knew the Oscars were taking place.
Right.
No, I didn't. I didn't have a clue.
Yeah, the only reason I even freaking caught any wind of it is via Telegram or Twitter or whatever. And then next morning, seeing it on the television set, it was a big story of the day, the big distraction.
Yeah.
Oh, those poor multimillionaires. Oh, those poor people. And then you guys see the clips of all the after party? Literally all of them just in their big cesspool after party, singing and dancing, no masks. Where was COVID?
No masks.
No one was invited.
It's like Obama's party, right?
Yep, wasn't invited.
No, there was Will Smith singing along. They were playing Get Jiggy With It, and Will Smith playing, you know, singing along with it, and all these people standing around him, you know, 2-3 feet away, videotaping him or with their camera phones, whatever. And, you know, and everyone having a good time. People just, nobody
I
in that
I hope they had a mask on the camera. I'd hate to watch it and catch a virus.
Why do we even give them airtime about it? Who cares about them?
Well, speak about this to bring light to the subject matter. And it's, you know, people, you know,
it's
I don't
stupidity.
Think anybody listening in this audience stupidity. Idolizes or wants to be them or wishes, like, you know, whatever.
I don't think we got very many of those around here.
Expose them.
The we got a big for? Audience there, Lady Horse.
I don't know if anybody wants to emulate Will Smith or Chris Rock. Nope.
Well, there's none of them. The only reason why I heard it is because the other people in the room were watching the TV. It wasn't me. Nope.
Well, I'm with Drew. I wasn't even aware the Oscars were on. Who cares?
Right. Well, it is just another thing. It's just like the flat earth stuff. It's to take your mind off of stuff and to make a separation and a conclusion of I'm right, no, I'm right, no, I'm right, no, I'm right, you know. And
divide,
just
conquer, the oldest tactic in the book.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I was listening to Susan Lindauer got a hold of Russell Bentley and had her on his show for an hour and a half today with Scott Bennett.
Nice.
But, you know, I agree, you know, I believe a lot of what Bentley says about Ukraine and whatnot, because he's right there, but his emphasis on the whole certain things, and I won't bring it up in this call, just really befuddles me, to be honest. So if anyone wants to listen to that, they can go over to the Truth Frequencies archives. It'll be available there for 7 days for free. Susan Lindauer's show, A Covert Report. Susan Lindauer, she had all sorts of connection problems. She tried to add Russell Bentley to the call and got caught up. She does this all the time to where she has, like, Scott Bennett was talking. The next thing you know, Susan wasn't connected to the call anymore. She's going, she starts, what the F? What blank? I mean, this is Susan. She can't connect to the call. Next thing she doesn't realize she's being heard on air. She's swearing up a storm. Scott Bennett's talking the whole time because he can't hear her anymore.
That's scary.
They're talking in the chat room about different things up in the store. I mistyped in there. Any of them designs can be put on just about anything up there.
I like the playing cards.
Yeah, well, you can take one of the designs from the coffee cup and put it on the playing cards.
There you go.
Or you can put it on something else, like a mouse pad.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that wouldn't work on the coffee cups is the t-shirts. It'd be way too small on a t-shirt.
I got my logo on a t-shirt. What are you talking about?
Well, it breaks down when you add
oh,
it.
Oh, because of the, okay, yeah, the I see density. What you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Now, the ones I have up there for t-shirts, that's 400 pixels per inch. Coffee cups are like 150 pixels per inch.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Pica. Isn't that what they call pica? The size of letters? It's been a long time since I've been.
Yeah.
So, the cool.
But yeah, it's the density of the pixels determines if you can. They'll tell you that it'll come out blurry if you try to put something on, you know, make it too big up there.
Well, it makes sense because if the original isn't the same amount, then it would start distorting it.
They can drop it down, but they can't add to it.
Right. Yes.
Now, I can add to it in my paint shop. But they can't do it.
Right.
You got something that's small and you want a t-shirt out of it, I can turn around and make it big enough for a t-shirt, no problem.
Cool.
Just have to inform me and I'll do it.
Neat. Well, that's a thought. Why not? I mean, I had business cards made.
Yeah, I've got business cards for my shows, too, and I pass them out whenever I go somewhere.
And nobody's just come up to me and said, I am a listener. No. I have met people who have listened to me, though. But I haven't seen them in a while. This has been an interesting ride here at Revolution Radio.
And there's a sitcom here somewhere if somebody wants to write it.
Right?
Well, you're the writer, Painter.
No, I'm not.
He's the poet.
A story I want to tell. When I first started listening to Revolution Radio and they kept introducing her, I kept hearing this name, Amad, Amad, Amad. I thought you were like a Hindu or something out there. I didn't realize it was a mad painter.
Yeah, everybody cuts off the painter.
It was floating around. It's before I even, I don't know, realized I heard you, or maybe not. I don't know what the deal was, but I remember when I just first started hearing it, it was like a mad, like you're Middle Eastern or something. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, I actually, Hawk had a letter saying one time, you know, he's not Arabic.
There you go. So I wasn't the only one, you know, but yeah, that's why I often refer to you as Thomas. Or
he showed me an email one time and said a lady was listening to Revolution Radio and she used her microwave and now her microwave won't work. She'll never listen to Revolution Radio again.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, he actually showed it
to me. Oh, gosh. Oh, okay, then.
Well, it must be her microwave not working.
That's too funny. That just is too funny. I've had things go away and not work, and then months later you try again and it comes back on. I mean, there's all kinds of conditions that you just have to be aware of. That's just... The Kool-Aid was pretty strong way back when, man. It's showing it off now.
yeah, Kool-Aid acid trip. Or acid test, that's what it was.
Yeah, but that would make us smarter, not dumb, like what's going on. That's how I feel about it. I learned a lot.
Acid is a mind-expanding drug. Or heroin's a soul-dampening drug.
Well, I'd rather not go there with the drug. You can do it without a drug for that. Oh, goodness. I mean, I did, what was it? TMC? Is that what they call it?
DMT?
Okay. It was like not even 5 minutes, but it was so strong, so hard, so fast. So, a suit, that I had to lay down. I couldn't even carry on the rest of the afternoon. And I don't like stuff like that. I mean, oh my gosh, that was just like, what? So, and I was baking cookies, so I had to have somebody help me finish baking the cookies because I couldn't get off the couch. It was like, whoa. DMT, right? Isn't that what it is?
LSD?
Yeah, DMT.
No, LSD.
Is DMT? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
Which is, it's a chemical form of ayahuasca or something like that.
That's right. Okay. That's what I've heard.
9-methyltryptamine.
Yes.
Yeah, tryptamine's another one that comes like that.
I want some.
And what my vision was, okay, for that take me out for the whole day kind of deal?
Post stamps.
Artistic postage stamps was my vision that I was supposed to have for that.
Yeah, real acid will mess with you for 8 to 10 hours.
Right.
The designer crap they got today, you take it and you giggle your ass off is all you do.
No, yeah. That's the last LSD I did.
That's not real acid. That's designer bullshit.
Yeah,
I don't doubt it.
don't know if anybody knows anything about the liquid acid.
That's real. That's LSD 25.
Yeah.
That's
the stuff. Liquid blotter was probably at its peak.
Right.
In the 90s, I would say 91, 92, 93, the psychedelics were.
Even 88.
That's what commonly referred to as four-way window pane, which means,
right.
It gets
sugar
even more effect.
Dropping on a sugar cube.
But that's 70s. It ain't the 90s. What are you talking about? It was all
really 70s. It was really dominant. It was predominant in my neighborhood.
Yeah. That gives you the four effects.
That was trippy.
Cartoon acid.
I would never condone such a thing, by the way. Just saying.
Right. I will. I will. Publicly.
Well, see, part of my platform, you know, these countries that drugs are illegal, they don't have a drug problem.
Yeah, they don't have a drug problem. The drug problem is created here. The CIA, right. All of them, they perpetrate their own crimes here. They bring it in, they give it to the poverty stricken, you know, the housing projects, the projects. And,
And then they steal it back from themselves.
Yeah. Incarcerated. When police, honestly, the police are put together to support the prison industrial complex.
Exactly.
I don't doubt that in the least.
Well, they're not the there to protect and serve people. They're there to protect corporate power.
Hell no. That's a delusion.
They're there to protect corporate policy.
Yeah, corporate interests. And special interests, and they're policy enforcers. They're municipalities. They have zero obligation to the Constitution other than the oath they took. Oh, I'm sorry. They took an oath? Yeah. They still took an oath. And if they violate that oath, in my view, they're scumbags. They're bigger than your average scumbag, right? They're an armed scumbag. You know, and it's a real problem. It really is, these guys.
Well, they're scumbags with power.
Yeah. Ego tripping. Up here, it's not the case. I'm very blessed. Like I say this all the time, I'm very blessed up here. These police officers have...
Not all cops are bad.
That's true. I've called them out on it. It was Christmas dinner. And I said that, you know, you guys did a fine job because I had been filming them up to 3 years. And so I came in at Christmas dinner at my place. And had a nice conversation with the whole department. And I told them, one day, we're going to need each other. And sure shit, 5 years later, here we are. You know? So it's an amazing time. It's an amazing time for a lot of people. Everybody's got a different story. Everybody's got a different life they're living. And I wish I could. I increasingly strive for the right words to describe my ongoing situations, day to day, almost, of what I find myself in. It's very weird. It's very weird. 3,030 square yards.
Square miles.
Square miles.
Well, we got about 5 minutes to go, folks. So let everybody know when they're on.
I'll just do it real quick. I'm on tonight, 11 o'clock. It's the round table. Last couple of weeks I've been going solo, but tonight if somebody wants to
call. That's 11 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they should know.
Got to be specific with times.
Yeah, that's 11 and 2 Eastern. So
they'll come in here Eastern on 11 o'clock and go, where the hell is he?
That's it.
My show will be over by that time. I'm from 8 till 10 Eastern, Studio B, with tonight's guest Ron James from MUFON. And we had a really good conversation.
So it's just a recording? It's a recording playing back? Okay.
Yep. I'm going to be stoned and drinking beer.
Awesome.
And
listening to your show.
Well, that's normal.
The red pill. Yes. Thanks, Mona. The red pill.
I got to start doing that. That would probably be a good idea for me. Because that's, you know, it kind of, if you don't have the time and you can just schedule it.
There's less stress, dude. Yeah. There's less stress.
Depends on your breaks. You can coordinate it up with your breaks.
Yeah, you definitely
got to. If you're not doing interactive with the chat room, it's fine to pre-record. But if you're using the chat room and taking questions from the chat room, you can't do it.
For pre-recording? Sure I can.
Yeah.
That makes it easy to sit and chat.
How are you going to take a question when somebody's listening to this show and it's a pre-recorded and they ask you a question?
I'll answer it directly in real time.
You can if you're not the one they're asking the question to. If it's your guest they're asking the question to, he's already gone.
Yeah, but most of the time they're not getting the guest isn't getting the question either, because especially if it's a guest, I'm kind of lost in the conversation. I'm not really staring at the chat room.
Well, then it works. But if you're using the chat room for any kind of feedback, then it ain't working.
No, but it's also if they ask a question, because Ron's going to come back too, then I jot it down and I can ask him next time.
Well, they got to wait, what, a month before they get an answer?
Yep. Patience is a virtue.
Well, that sounds more like TV to me.
Yeah, learn to be in the now, man. That's it, be in the now.
I don't do pre-recorded shows.
Some guests can't come on Sundays, and I'm not going to limit myself. If a guest can't show up on a Sunday, we say, okay, well, I can't have you as a guest.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I agree. That's actually very intelligent.
It's up to you, you know.
Cool, though.
Like, I haven't gotten any complaints from anybody.
They probably don't know the difference unless you tell them. Well, seriously, I mean, we're all living in the now. If we recognize it or not, it's our own choice, you know. So, all right, Monday through Friday, Adventures of a Feral Hippie, Studio B, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., and who knows what's happening until I'm there. And I'd like to think about a guest or two every now and then, but...
Yeah, I probably need to do that. I haven't had a guest in quite a while.
If I stopped, I don't know, I guess if I would have gone a little further, I could have had more guests, but I'm just done with it. Maybe I don't have the, I'm just not going to blow sunshine. All right. Oh, would you please come on my show?
Hey, mechanic, at this station ad where we had round tables for almost every show, we had times where there were so many callers on the show. Because we made our own show. We were just gossiping or whatever else we were doing.
We dragged people in without asking them.
That too, yeah.
I like it. I like it. I do. I like it.
We did a lot of that.
I don't do interviews. I just do straight-up conversations because, like, right. For me, you guys have seen what I look like. Do I look like the type of person that you would see a serious interview from?
Yeah.
You do too much judging on yourself, man.
Yeah, you do.
What the heck is the matter with you?
Dig it for compliments.
Well, I love y'all. Be good.
All right, everybody.
Have a great day, peeps.
Chicago Brew left without telling when his show is on. It's on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock on Studio A, Eastern Standard Time. All right, y'all have a good one. Thank you for joining me. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Have some trouble.
Goodbye. Get up next week.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
There was blood on the wire.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.